Come on. Come on. Oh, for the love of God, how much longer?
There you are, Eric. What are you doing here?
I'm waiting for the new Nintendo Wii to come out.
When does it come out?
3 weeks. Come on. Come on.
It's time for school.
No, Mom, you don't understand. I've been waiting for this thing to come out for months. And now, every day time is slowing down. It's like waiting for Christmas times 1,000.
Eric, you're just going to have to be patient.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm Cola.
I played so much of that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I haven't listened to the show in this long.
Ludicrous kill.
Like your emotionally unstable ex-girlfriend, we're back. This is Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 136. I'm C4.
I'm Kobar.
This is Roybo.
It is November 5th. The website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. The IRC is irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. And let's see here. We're going to jump into... This is going to be quite a RPG-filled episode. I'm pretty excited about this. Especially
so all you Madden fans better just turn it off right now and go listen to Lag Radio or something.
You just alienated the entire 360 player base.
They're not on the internet anyway. They're too busy playing Uno naked.
That's true. That's true. Waiting patiently for Contra, which is still not out on the Live Arcade, like Microsoft almost kind of sort of promised it would be about 3 weeks ago. Then they slipped us Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, Doom, and Dig Dug somehow. But what can I say about that? I did want to mention, speaking of Lag Radio, Mr. Osimo sent an email, but it wasn't quite like for the show, you know, so it wasn't something I was going to like sit here and read. But it did have something I wanted to mention because it's something that we plan on talking about, and I actually plan on talking about with Oz and Apex, is Phantasy Star Universe.
You know who would have been good? Hades. He just beat that last night.
I know. It would have been fantastic to get him, but have you ever seen him volunteer for this shit?
Well, this is true. He's too busy.
Of course he is. He's playing NBA Live 06 right now. He's way too busy for this shit.
Oh, Christ.
But I would love to have him on to talk about it, particularly because he's actually managed to beat the single-player game. And another buddy of mine, though, the guy Bobcat, I've been mentioning every so often in the last little bit here, he beat it, too, in like 3 days or something, though. It was retarded. I don't think he slept at all.
I think it's like 20 hours long or something.
The reviews I was reading saying, yeah, a little over 20 hours, but I don't know. I haven't had a chance to even crack the plastic yet. In typical C4 fashion, I've got it sitting right here, waiting for the day. And we used to have a topic. We used to talk about the backlogs, our backlogs an awful lot. I've decided that I've got to wipe my slate clean and just, you know, I mean, I have games that I want to play that go back as far as the Super Nintendo.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, I mean, nothing past that, though. I've managed to play every, like, Atari game I wanted to play, every Sega Master System and Nintendo game I ever wanted to play. But there's, like, 3 or 4 Super Nintendo games I would love to play, you know, and a handful of computer games and
Chrono Trigger.
That's on the list, you know? This is what I'm saying. But there's very little, like, okay, in reality here, unfortunately, I don't think that's ever going to happen. So I'm just going to wipe the slate clean, starting with the 360 and up from here on out. And I'm already looking at Phantasy Star, which is like, God damn it.
Well, I don't know. It's starting to sound like you should just return it.
Fantasy, well, you know, we're going to have to talk about this game once I do have some time in it, because I don't plan on returning it. I mean, I like the Phantasy Star series. It was my first RPG series, so you know I got that like Final Fantasy player brain damage thing going on, but for Phantasy Star.
Well, but you're playing a totally different kind of game than back then.
That's true, and that's why I'm actually not so pleased about it. I would prefer it to be a traditional RPG using the Phantasy Star universe and everything, but unfortunately, I guess it's not quite that way, so I'll just have to deal, and I will check it out, though. And unfortunately, well, anyway, the point of me bringing up Phantasy Star universe in the first place was Osmo wrote me an email saying that he was actually looking to go pick this up. But in his email, he did mention to me that he was going to pick up the PC version, which he discovered Best Buy is not going to carry, which is a major blow for that game. You know, I mean, that really cuts out the number of people right there. A lot of people shop for their games at Best Buy. And that leaves you going to places like Walmart and stuff for Phantasy Star Universe and GameStop and so on and so forth. But he's mentioned to me he's going to get the PC version, and my understanding is the PS2 and the PC players play together, and the 360 guys get to play by themselves.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's correct, actually.
That's kind of lame. So, and the other little topic I wanted to mention before we actually got started with the email, the news, and whatnot here, I got to kick somebody's ass. I got an email from a listener, and I know who it is, and sadly, I don't think he was just fucking with me, but he sent me some kind of an invite to his MySpace friends list thingy.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. Talk about a slap in the face. That's like offering me an iPod or something.
Yeah, especially for you. You know, I mean, I know you're not into MySpace.
I don't pick up all the little 14-year-old girls there like you do. Doctor.
You're missing out, dude.
I'm sure I am.
You know what 14-year-old girls will do these days.
They're crazy.
Crazy.
All right, let's get on to the email here, because we actually have a very, very long one, which is going to be just about the last you're going to hear of me talking this show. I have a bad feeling, and just so our listeners understand what they're about to get themselves into, the reason we have called down the thunder, the doctor is visiting today so that him and Kobar can gay out over Final Fantasy XII for, like, ever.
It'll be a spankathon. I'm gonna see what's going to happen after this. C4 is going to be pregnant after we're done.
Oh my god. It's going to be horrible. This can, no good. No good at all from today, I tell you. This is the show.
As long as it's yours, not mine, Raibo.
This is the show that should not be. All right, let's see here. The first email of two is from Mr. Error. This is about the PS3 Online, and he starts out with our favorite quote from the IRC channel. You play games? By the way, Raibo, I meant to ask you that while we started. Do you actually play games?
I just started again. I got my Final Fantasy XII going on. Come on, so, you know, one game a year is fine.
That's all right. That's acceptable. We'll consider you hardcore for that.
Exactly.
All right. Hello, ladies. It's Error again. On episode 134, a question was brought up about the PlayStation 3 / Sony Online gimmick. Would be, as far as what has been confirmed, or confirmed, remember we're talking about Sony here, would be a mass of PS1 games that you can toss around between the online store and your PS3 to your PSP. If you have a PlayStation 3, you can use it as a storage device, and I'm sure at some point play PS1 games you have purchased directly from there. If you happen to not want the $600 Final Fantasy XIII, then you can still download PlayStation 1 games from the online store directly to your PSP. As a side note, PS1 games are around 700 megabytes. A 1 gigabyte memory stick runs around $30 to $40 at Best Buy these days. As for what I think they could add, some more of the same that the Xbox 360 uses would work well, namely music, movies, and demos. A nice system that could be set up, not since Sony has offered verbal support for the homebrew crowd. It wasn't much praise, but it was there. Some system for people to either add their own art, movies, or music, or go so far as to add minigames via something like Steam. I'm just going to go right back into it, because this is the argument that I will not let die. I still think Microsoft is fucking up the arcade. I really, really do.
Because they're putting old games instead of new games.
No, because they're not giving us a healthy dose of either, and they're giving us... They're like a red mage, you know? They're kind of crap for both, right? We look at Nintendo's Virtual Console, and they're going to hit you with, you know, a pile of fat classics. That's awesome. You know you're going to be getting classics. Okay, well, now hold on. And Sony is more than likely going to be giving you a bunch of new games. You know, they've learned from Microsoft. And Microsoft here is going to give us you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then some old this, some old that, a little bit of... I mean, here's fucking Dib Dug between, you know, Mutant Storm Empire and Small Arms.
Okay, okay. Look, you realize that Sony and Nintendo both have a backlog of games and Microsoft doesn't. You understand that, right?
What does Sony have beyond PlayStation 1 games?
Yeah, but I mean, it can easily be transferred over Xbox Live. You can't have Microsoft transfer DVD quality Xbox One games over their system. I mean, what are you talking, like a 2 gig download?
That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about original console.
The demos are that big all the time. It's not a big deal, Rebo.
They have 2 gig download
demos? There's multi-gig demos all the time.
But I don't know, I just don't, I mean, I see Sony and Nintendo, they have a huge back catalog of games that they can just put out there. If they didn't have it, they'd be putting on stuff like Dig Dug and Contra and all that, you know, what you're going to kind of consider hugely multi-platform games like Pac-Man in their place.
The thing I have to say is you can't just put out a new game every week. Games take longer to develop than that. And I think Xbox Live is putting out as many new games as they can, as often they can, as they can, and smattering the time in between with the old stuff.
Right, what's wrong with that?
It's definitely what they're doing, but what's wrong with it is that it feels like it's half-assed.
But if they were only doing the new games, you would get them only as often as you're getting the new games now, I think.
I don't know about that. I could see them pull off 2 games a month that were new. It's not like it's coming from just Microsoft people here. You know, we got Midway in there and Namco and the PopCap people.
Now, your idea about the, like, 360 arcade engine and then developers come in and just slap something together, that might speed up development, but as it stands now, I don't see it going any faster.
And aside from all that, the Xbox Arcade, I mean, that's all bonus. These are bonus games that you're getting. You're getting something extra. So you can't really complain. I know, but it's still a bonus. No, it's a bonus, dude.
It's not a bonus. This is a feature that you're supposed to pay for if you want it. A bonus would be something that they just give you for free.
No, I consider this a bonus as part of the Xbox Live service. This is not what you're paying $50. You're not paying $50 a month solely to download these games.
No.
A year.
Wait, hold on. First of all, a year. Okay, it's like $50-$60 a year. And second of all, okay, no, that aside, you're still wrong. You do not have to pay one red cent for Xbox Live service, period.
Unless you want to play for the games.
Only to play online. You can still buy all those arcade games without being a subscriber to Xbox Live.
No, but if you want to play online, you have to pay for the service, correct?
The fuck, you're going to play Geometry Wars online? Most of these games are single player.
How many people... Halo. You know how many people play Halo, dude?
What the fuck does that have to do with the arcade?
No... We're talking about the service.
We're talking about the arcade.
No, we're talking about the service. I say the arcade is a bonus to the service.
It would be a bonus to the service if they were free. Or if they came with the gold package.
All right, I'm just saying, in my opinion, I see these games, these extra games, that they don't have to give you as a bonus to the service.
They don't give them to you.
They do give them to you. You guys want them, like, right away or something.
Yeah, once a week is not that bad to get some quality games in there, and they've been screwing us on some of the decent ones for quite some time now. And where was the 50 they were supposed to have by the end of the year? We're at like 34, and it's, you know, the first week in November. They're not a bonus.
All right.
I'm telling you, man.
We disagree. I think I
can't help it. You're wrong.
It's a good... I'm gonna get you back later on. Don't worry about it. When we get to the Final Fantasy stuff, we'll see what happens.
That should be good.
We'll see who's wrong then.
All right. Well, let's see. Moving on to our second email here. This is awfully long, and by awfully long, I mean it's like a good 2 pages of 0.8 font. So sit back for a minute here. This is actually 2 game reviews here, so it's actually rather well detailed and rather long. So I might have to take a pause for a breather every so often, just deal with it. This is from Final Dragoon. This is RPGs other than Final Fantasy XII. Yes, I had to beg for this because I needed something to save me for the day to...
Doesn't exist.
Exactly. to try to counterbalance what's about to happen to the show here. Hey, C4, Kobar, and anyone else crazy enough to show up. That'd be the Doctor. Final Dragoon here with some help for C4. Yes, I know when I send this email, it will be during the Kobar and Ribo go fanboy crazy for Final Fantasy XII show, and I don't blame them for ignoring every other good, if not better, RPG that was released. So hopefully
wrong,
the listeners...
Wrong.
So hopefully... For the listener's pleasure, I bring you my reviews on Valkyrie Profile 2, Silmeria, and Tales of the Abyss. Granted, I have never played the first Valkyrie Profile. I am not going to pull the Kobar excuse on this one because it wholeheartedly stands out on its own. The basic story has you playing the role of Alicia as she struggles to discover the true fate of Midgard with the spirit of Silmeria, one of the three Valkyries, inside of her. Now, a major premise of the game... Einherjar. He even spelled it out for me, kind of. Einherjar. The souls of the dead who are forced to fight for the Valkyries. While in the first game they were integral to the story, here, not so much. Here, they play only a minimal role in the story due to the greater emphasis on story-based characters. Think of them now as extra characters who never leave the party, and that's a good thing because throughout the game you will never have... every story-based character around forever. Graphically, I can find no better on the PS2, and I'm sure Ribo and Kobar are seething with rage at that comment. Granted, the incredible graphics come at the price that every zone is still a side-scroller stuck on 2D rails. However, that gripe is minor and easily overlooked once you start playing the game.
Graphically speaking, VP2 is insane. I won't knock that.
No, I can't knock it either. VP2 looks great.
Now we get to the gameplay. Dungeons are still the 2D platforming they were previously. Alicia can fire photons to freeze enemies on screen and use them to gain extra access to hidden treasure or other parts of the zone. Also, if you shoot a frozen enemy, you will be teleported and switch places with it. This brings up a lot of interesting platform puzzles, almost worthy of a Zelda game. But what do you do after you've gotten the treasure? Why fight the enemies, of course? Combat is where the fans really got split on this one. Battle takes place on a 3D field. However, enemies only move when you do, which can be a bit confusing at first. Now, there is a circle around your players, which is your field of attack, but oftentimes that involves getting dangerously close to the enemy's field of attack, which ranges from a small circle around them to a cone taking up half of the battlefield. Now, you can only see the enemy's attack field when you aren't moving, so that also adds to the strategy. Now, once you start attacking, this is where playing fighting games can help, as each character on screen is controlled by a face button. Time your attacks right, and you can juggle enemies in your combo for a long time. Be wary, this game will easily teach you that button mashing is not going to help you at all. You can also dash in combat to completely jump over enemies' attack fields, but that, along with all attacks, eat up the AP bar, which is the only way to restore... Wait, hold on, I screwed that up. Which the only way to restore it is to move around. Hit an enemy that's been forced to the ground, or hold L3, which accelerates time. Also, when attacking, you build up a heat gauge that if it hits 100, you can pull off soul crushes, aka really cool-looking extra damage moves. But that's not the best part. Every enemy has destructible parts. And yes, C4, you can fight giant enemy crabs and attack their weak point for massive damage. while at the same time breaking off their claws and legs so they can't fight back or move. I find a certain enjoyment of reducing a kick-ass boss to a pile of worthless EXP fodder by breaking off all his body parts. Even when you get your fill by beating the game decides to reward you with what else? That's right, extra difficulty levels. Each time you beat the game, the difficulty is slightly increased. Wait for it. Up to 50 times. Now that's what I call replayability. Overall, Valkyrie Profile 2 gets 50 out of 50 for just being what I needed while I waited for the next game. Now, while I continue stalling for time, I mean giving C4 an email to read on the other reason, but onto the other reason for this email.
Wait. Let's talk about Valkyrie Profile 2. Did you play the first one?
I've played neither.
Alright, never mind. Continue.
Well, go ahead, explain.
No, it's a good. They're good games. I played the first one on the PlayStation 1, and then I tried it again on the PSP. It just came out for the PSP in March.
Is this Lenneth?
Yeah, that's the one. Valkyrie Profile Lenneth. And they're good games. The only thing is that I mean they're like you said they're most of the action is that 2D kind of side-scroll thing that the Tails series does.
Did it kind of look like Double Dragon? I mean, not graphic-wise, but like the way it fights?
No.
Okay.
It plays more like Tales of Fantasia.
Like the Game Boy one,
play that one?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
It's a 2D, you're like on a flat plane, and then you have to hit certain buttons to do combos and whatnot.
Right.
And if you like that genre, I don't care for that genre of combat in RPGs, personally, but if you like that genre of combat, it's pretty good.
I'm not a huge fan of either. I enjoyed Tales of Symphonia, but eh.
I'm going to third that. I'm not a big fan of when it switches to that style for the fights either. I must say, though, that Tales of which one was it? Which one was the one that just was released on the PSP a little bit ago? Eternia.
Tales of Eternia, yeah.
Yeah, that was mildly better than Symphonia. I don't know, it seemed like a fantastic game, and I played it for a while, but Eternia was just, it just seemed like it was worked out better for me.
I know, I like Symphonia better than Eternia.
And it wasn't a great game, in my opinion, but it was fun. I enjoyed the 40 hours, whatever I put into it.
Right, no, if you can get over that style of combat, the games are good.
It's not even getting over it. I mean, it's a good style of combat for some people. It's just that some of us either aren't used to it or just flat out don't like it. I think my problem is I just can't get used to it. I don't really dig on it all that much. But this one,
yeah, I can't get used to it either.
Yeah, it's not that it's a bad game, and it looks like a lot of fun. The graphics are outstanding, particularly for a PS2 game. I was very impressed by everything I've seen, and it must just be that much fun once you actually get into it and everything. Those Tales games, Symphonia, Eternia, Fantasia. The second part of his email is Tales of the Abyss. So Tales of the Abyss gets my vote for Game of the Year. Got Rybo and Kobar's attention yet? Good.
Well, I got one thing to say. I want to point out that he was talking about fanboyism in the beginning of this email. Now continue.
Okay. Tales of the Abyss has you playing the role of Luke Fonfabre, a spoiled brat who's spent the past 7 years stuck in his mansion due to the traumatizing effects of being kidnapped as a child and suffering from amnesia. Throughout the game, you get to discover how much of a change this character goes through as he deals with war and impending destruction. Yeah, I know, horribly cliched plot line, but the characters are more than enjoyable enough to carry the plot. The graphics are nothing extraordinary, but they get the job done and are really nice for the fans of anime. Gameplay-wise, it's the standard fare. Town, dungeon, town, etc. But here they added something interesting. The TLP, Town Link Points, are the driving force of many of the side quests. Doing them adds to an imaginary counter per town that when it rises, the price of items decrease, which gives you an incentive to do the side quests, as there are many items throughout the game that are ridiculously expensive. The only gripe here is that the frame rate tends to suffer on the world map, and coming out of battles from the world map can take a good 7 to 10 seconds to load. However, I can forgive it all for the near-perfect combat. Combat, again, takes place on a field in real time. Yes, people, not every RPG is turn-based. Very early on, you gain an ability that lets you hold down L2 and run freely around the battlefield in 3D. Those who played Symphonia will welcome this addition the most. Combat plays out with you controlling one character with fighting-style controls, with X being your normal attacks and Circle being your special attacks. Why did he type a giant X? Oh, well, he could have put a big old O there. I would have liked that. The AI handles the other three characters, which is customizable quite a bit. Each part of the combat is worth pointing out. First, AD skills, which are gained either through leveling or from stat boosts gained through the capacity cores, give you extra abilities in combat, such as giving you extra attacks, taking less damage from attacks, and speeding up your spellcasting. There's over 100 AD skills in the game, which will take at least one playthrough to even get half of them. Next are Fawn Slot Chambers. These can be applied to all your special attacks to give them extra abilities. They range from doing extra damage to reducing the mana cost to healing you with each use. This allows you to customize your characters even further. However, both of those pale in comparison to the field of Phonons. FOFs change the playstyle dramatically. Simply put, they are colored rings that appear on the field when enough of an element are used during battle. When certain special attacks are used within these circles, the attack becomes an upgraded version that does even more damage. This can lead you to strategize your team to create a certain circle and to only use attacks that utilize those circles. To put it simply, Tales of the Abyss exceeded all my expectations of the game. Add to that the grade shop after beating the game, which you can use grade that was accumulated from all the battles to buy extra things such as retraining abilities, items, increasing experience, experience gain, and so on. Some will be necessary for the extra difficulty levels, hard, very hard, and unknown. And the best part of all this, it's only $40. Take that, Final Fantasy XII. So for me, Tales of the Abyss gets 50 out of 40 for being a near-perfect RPG. You can't break our scale. It gets 40 out of 40 then. With that out of the way, I leave you to deal with the fanboys, C4. Have fun.
50 out of 40, but we're the fanboys.
Okay, right, the difference is this. Now,
even Final Fantasy XII, I'm not even giving Final Fantasy XII a 50 out of 50.
I'm not either.
After much debate, yeah. Mr. Kobar. Now, I had to request this email, by the way, okay? He did not fanboy this up and send this out to me. I had to beg him to talk about this game, because you two cock monsters are always in IRC, slobbering over Final Fantasy XII within the first 10 seconds of putting it in the goddamn PlayStation, and completely ignoring everything he has had to say over the past couple of months, waiting for this game, ignoring every RPG on the horizon except for this one. That is some bad fanboyism right there.
No, I was ignoring Tales of the Abyss because I played Symphonia and didn't really like it enough to buy another one.
Exactly, and all the Tales games, I know he didn't bring this up, they're all exactly the same. It's the same game. And I know you didn't say Final Fantasy
the
same, but
Battlefield.
But you didn't say Final Fantasy the same, but that's not true. But no, in his defense, because I actually bought Tales of the Abyss prior to buying Final Fantasy XII.
Oh my god.
And, yeah, can you believe it? And it's actually a good game. I from what I've played, I played about 4 hours or so of it.
Oh, I'm sure it's a perfectly good game.
No, the graphics are really nice. It's that cel-shaded anime-style graphics, even in-game, and they're real pleasant to look at. The combat is better because it plays more like Star Ocean than the old Tales games. And I don't know if anybody played Star Ocean. I like the real-time combat of Star Ocean a lot. It's not that Street Fighter combat we were just talking about. It's more of an open, you're on a big field, and you can move around all the characters however you want. And you can actually do the moves in the field real time. And it's pretty fun. The story is actually pretty cool. I mean, the characters are likable. They have this thing in the Tales games, I'm not sure if you remember it, where you can do those kind of, they're not quests, but it's like a side where characters talk to each other. And it kind of fleshes out the character a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You remember those? Yeah, they have those in this. They have a lot of them in this one, too. And my only complaint about it was they still haven't put any voice to it. It's still that still box that comes on the screen where it shows the character's portrait, and then it has, like, some real tiny text underneath it, and you kind of have to read it, and they're pretty long. But if they put voice to it, that would have just put it over the top. I mean, it's a decent game.
Well, that's good.
Sure it is. I just had to point out that Final Dragoon came talking about fanboyism, and
it's
there
nothing
he is, like, gushing
on the levels of you guys. That was the problem here. Okay, he is nowhere. He's my best friend now. Okay,
but
you
we're
guys.
Talking about Final Fantasy. Okay, we're talking about Final Fantasy. This is equivalent. Remember when I said Metal Gear Solid 3 is an event?
I forgot. This Final Fantasy event. Gets a pass because it's Final Fantasy.
Right, because Final Fantasy they bring out one every explain because they bring out one every 4 years. We just had another. We had a Tales game in January. Okay,
right.
Excuse me if I don't get excited for a game that comes out every 6 months, as opposed to a game that comes out every 4 years.
Ah, it doesn't make it a good game, and it doesn't make recent releases a bad game.
You don't know that
exactly. Yet you praise it like it's Jesus himself before it comes out.
They put 4 years into it. How can it suck?
I'm all over it. Hand off the button. So by this measurement, the greatest game ever clearly is going to be Duke Nukem Forever.
Duke Nukem Forever? That's not fair.
You heard it here first. Fear my ass! It's really not fair because it's not
fair.
Final Fantasy
not
Forever.
How about Daikatana?
There's another great example. You have... See? Okay.
Why?
No, we're done.
Why
we're done. Gilbert? Let's go to the news.
Why is Kobar on now? What's going on?
Because you guys have this fake facade going on. This facade of we're not fanboys for Final Fantasy going on, and you guys are doing a pretty good job of trying to hide it from me. But I know it's there, and it creeps out every now and again. You just a little bit leak while we were recording, and that goes against
when we get to the Final Fantasy segment of the show. We're going to have it out, because I got to find out what your problem is with Final Fantasy.
The square manifesto.
I want to know Yeah, it is. But I want to find out what your problem is with
my
Final
problem?
Fantasy. Because while don't explain it now, because we're going to get into it later on. But, I mean, whereas Kobar and I are fanboys, you're extremely anti-fanboy, and it's very obvious.
I am. You,
right, but when, when it comes to something like Baldur's Gate or you know, your Dungeons and Dragons games, I mean, you're jerking off all over the place.
That's because I played them. These games were out for 10 minutes, but hell, before this game came out, you guys were all over this as if it was the greatest thing ever.
let's get to the news.
All right, on to the news, which is actually very short. We only have two real news items here. One is not even, I'm going to call it a real news item here, because I think we briefly went over this before with the Nintendo Wii, the Virtual Console game list, but I don't remember if we had a full list or not.
It certainly wasn't this full.
All right, well, in any case, what we have, now this is the best part, America's getting jacked on this, by the way, but check this out, 11 Nintendo Entertainment System games, Mario Brothers, notice they're going to make you buy that, and then you're going to have to wait for Mario 3, the one that everybody wants, The Legend of Zelda.
Wait, is that Super Mario Brothers or Mario Brothers?
That is a good question, actually, it doesn't say Super Mario Brothers, so...
Yeah, if it's regular Mario Brothers, then you're really getting screwed.
Yeah,
that's the arcade game. Yeah.
Right. The Legend of Zelda, which is fantastic. Donkey Kong, another classic. Donkey Kong Jr., Ice Hockey, Pinball, Soccer, Tennis, Urban Champion, Wario's Woods, Baseball, and Solomon's Key.
Urban Champion makes me laugh. That game was terrible back then.
I don't remember a Wario game back then.
Wario's Woods came out, and it was one of the later games. Came out like in 94 or so.
Wow. Huh, I don't remember that one at all.
You probably went to Super Nintendo by then. A lot of people didn't play it.
TurboGrafx-16, I think, first is what I got, so yeah. Huh, and Solomon's Key. Dude, I remember playing that fucking game. I did not like that very much either.
Do you remember, Solstice?
I remember it, but I didn't play it.
Oh, okay.
I knew people that had it. Like that, what was that? Was it Wizards and... What was the one where you had... Was it The Wizard? Was that what it was called? Where you walked through the dungeon that was kind of like fake 3D on like a grid or something?
Oh, no, that was Wizardry. That was a PC port.
Was it Wizardry? God, I can't remember.
Is that what you thought?
Boy, that game
3D,
pissed
right?
me off. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was now. In any case, we're only getting, and this is where Kobar wants to check, he's hovering over his push-to-talk key right now, two... Deuce! We're getting Deuce Super Nintendo games. F-Zero and Sim City.
Sim City?
Dude, Sim City for the Super Nintendo was the fucking bomb.
It is. Yeah, sure. Koba, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I played Sim City on the SNES 2, but there's so many other SNES games that should have been out first.
Okay, granted, that's
true.
But Sim City's awesome. Sim City is a very good game on Super Nintendo.
I love it a lot. We're getting one Nintendo 64 game, which is the greatest game on the Nintendo 64, Super Mario 64.
Do you really need another game right now for the N64? That's the greatest game.
Arguably, Ocarina of Time and GoldenEye. But I don't know. This game was amazing. I'm sure they will come in due time.
Oh, yeah.
The Sega Genesis, we're getting nine games. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at least it's not Pilot Wings.
Yeah, that would have been great. the Sega Genesis, we get nine games. Sonic the Hedgehog, Ultra Beast, Golden Axe, Columns, Echo the Dolphin, Gunstar Heroes, Space Harrier Deuce, Toe Jam, and Motherfucking Earl, which I am so unbelievably stoked about, Rystar, and Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
See, Nintendo needs to learn from Sega right here. Sega's coming out swinging.
Yeah, dude, Gunstar Heroes, Altered Beast, fucking Golden Axe. I can't believe Toe Jam and Earl. That's so awesome to me. I am a happy camper. TurboGrafx-16, we're getting five games. Bonk's Adventure, Superstar Soldier, Victory Run, Bomberman 93, and the Uber Dungeon Explorer.
Dungeon Explorer makes that worth it. Whatever TurboGrafx games, how much ever they cost, Dungeon Explorer is worth it.
Yeah, that game is awesome. Now, here's the best part.
Think of it like a... Gauntlet that's on acid. It's insane.
It's really good. I love that series. It's a great game, and I played the crap out of that when I had my TurboGrafx-16 too. But here's the thing though. Check this out. There may be a few more games by launch, but this is what they're guaranteeing us basically. Okay, except for in Japan, they're actually going to see some other games, like A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo, and 8 other Super Nintendo games. Super Mario Brothers for... Oh, okay, that one's actually listed separate from the Nintendo, so there's your answer. And it's a possibility maybe these will appear for download in the United States.
Assholes.
Yeah, because apparently A Link to the Past and Super Mario Brothers didn't sell very well over here. Oh, I'm sure we are, but like... Okay, it's 2006. We want what we want, and we want it now, and we're willing to micropay out the ass for it this minute.
But you're going to micropay out the ass for it when you get it in February, too, so what difference does it make?
Yeah, but you want it now because you know it's coming. You know the goodness, you know?
You're going to be too busy playing. You're supposed to be playing the new Zelda on the Wii right now.
Oh, Ribo just dropped off. Ribo joined the channel. And he's back! Shit happens. That's right. You didn't miss not one second. This is an actual real story here I've got to talk about. I don't know if you saw this anywhere in the news and your travels through the video game websites. Xbox Live's fall update came out a little bit, like maybe 2 weeks ago now. Did you read anything on the problems with this, Mr. Doctor? I'm sorry, Dr. Flavin?
Yeah, I read that it's breaking people's 360s, and I don't know what the circumstances was. It was only specific 360s it was doing at one point, and then it was starting to do all 360s or something. Is that what happened?
All right, well, here's, okay, what I've been able to, I mean, it's all over now. I mean, they've gone ahead and fixed the problem after only just, like, 2 days or some shit, or, like, one bad day or whatever. And basically, yes, what you do is you install, when you try to sign on live, whether you have a silver or gold account, the Xbox will inform you there's an update that is required. You have to have this to get onto Xbox Live to do anything. And basically, it downloads onto your console and goes ahead and upgrades some things. And if you're one of the unlucky, what Microsoft claims is 1%, you will brick your 360. And it comes to my attention that a lot of people, and I'm sure that like 95% of our listeners know what we mean when we say the word brick, but you wouldn't believe the blank stares I get from people that should fucking know what that means. And I just want to slap their fucking stupid faces. Okay, so what this means... Now, some of you may not shouldn't know, or shouldn't not necessarily know, you know, maybe not. But some people that I've told this should know, and it makes me angry that they don't. And what we mean by this is it turns it into a brick. It makes it useless. It kills it. It cannot do anything for you anymore. Okay?
Unretrievable.
Without it. Right, okay. So, and you know, you hear about people bricking their PlayStation Portable, say, okay? In any case, what would happen, you download this thing, and it reboots the computer, the computer, the 360, and you...
innocent mistake.
Yeah, it slipped out. I'm sorry, Microsoft. And basically, you get a screen that just says error 71, and it says to contact support, and it says call like 1-800-4-MY-XBOX or xbox.com/support, and you get, you know, the ring that lights up around your power button. You get the red fuck you ring of death. You know, it's just like one quarter of it, though. It's just like one little part. Now, here's the part of the story that makes this noteworthy for Games and More Entertainment Radio. Guess who fell victim to this one?
Our very own C4.
That's right. Now, it gets even better, though. Okay, now here's the full story for this. And I'll tell you what, I'm so, like, tired and like, just worn out on this story because I've been requested to tell it, like, 27 times. And I, like, tried like hell to save it for the show so I could do it with some kind of enthusiasm and anger and rage. And I've had to tell it over and over and over. It is now the short little condensed husk of a story that it used to be. And so I give it to you like this. My original 360 was flaking out on me after, like, 64 days, okay? And by flaking out, I mean it would lock up after 30 to 60 minutes. Of playing something like Marvel is what I happened to be playing at the time. I'm so lucky that it made it through Oblivion. I'll tell you what, that would have pissed me off. But I would be playing, and most of the time, nothing. Like, I could turn it on and load my Marvel game, and it never happened on the dashboard and never happened with an arcade game, and I could play for hours. But as soon as I would load up a real game, it happened with the Tony Hawk 8 demo. It happened with Dead Rising. And most often, because it just happened to be what I was playing at the time this week, was Marvel Ultimate Alliance. And I could literally turn the console on, like just get home from work, so it's been off all day. Load my save game, let the screen sit there while... You know, my characters just stood there after it finally loaded, go outside, smoke a cigarette, and come back, and it would be frozen. And it wasn't just, like, frozen. It would send out some kind of creepy sound out of the speakers. It would go, just for a second, and you would have these weird streaks on the screen, like these rain-looking streaks down the screen. And that's all. I mean, it was just toast, and it would do it every probably 30 to 60 minutes once it got, like the last day where I had enough, where it was, like, the worst. The day before, I did it, like, maybe 5-6 times during the whole day. It was just getting progressively worse. So I said, fuck it. I'm just going to bring it down and go ahead and get another one. Now, my original 360, manufactured May 19th, 2006, and I happen to notice it's from lot number 620, like, group of created 360s. And that one took the fall update with no problem. I used it up until the day I got rid of it. 64 days, it was alive and kicking. So I pulled off the hard drive because I didn't want to lose all my shit, you know, and I didn't want to have to re-download that stuff. And I went down to the store and picked up a new one. This one happened to be lot 627, manufactured July 2nd, 2006. So I come home driving through rush hour traffic, right? I was pissed off. I hooked up my hard drive, booted it up, had everything all set up, all stoked and ready to go. And, of course, you know, it says you need to get the fall update. And, so I say, yeah, download the update. I like the things that they've added. They didn't add every little thing I want, but it's nice. You know, I have no choice. It reboots, and guess what? Error 71 and a big fuck you light. Nothing I could do. I restarted it a couple times, took the hard drive off, thinking it didn't like the hard drive. It booted once, though, was the thing, you know. And that's why I thought I was good until this happened. I didn't know. Well, I looked online. I didn't see anything about it. It seemed like I was the only person who'd heard of it at the time, which is weird, because half an hour later, the entire world knew. It was really strange. But what I did find was at the time it was an unknown error, you know, like on the forums. I was looking on the forums, people were saying, I got this error 71, it won't go away. I call support and they freak out, and then it's, you know, nobody knows what it is. It's not on any, like, the websites that track this kind of stuff. Nobody knows what it is, and it's kind of rare. And, of course, here I am with this fucking error. So I pack it back up, get back in the car, drive back down to the Best Buy. People were laughing at me. They're like, oh, my God, you know, I would love to say I can't believe that happened, but I can believe that, you know, it's broken out of the box. Nobody knew, including myself, what happened. Now the thing is, I called 1-800-4-MY-XBOX as I left for the store to bring back this second Xbox. I called them on the cell phone, drove all the way to the store, which is about a good 15 minutes. Got to the store, got another one. This one's actually newer. It was manufactured July 11th, 2006, lot number 628. So I got the new one. Still was on hold with the Xbox people. Finally, I get back in the car with the brand new Xbox. I'm just pulling out of the driveway, and somebody picks up the phone. And some lady. And I mean, I just came flat out and asked her. I said, you know, okay, look, what is error 71? And she goes, hold on, let me look that up. Let's see here. Error 71, I'm sorry, sir, that's beyond my boundaries. I'm going to have to transfer you to hardware. So I'm like, God fucking damn it. You know, I was kind of pissed. I was like, look, you know, I don't want to be on hold forever again. Oh, no, it'll be soon. I'll transfer you right away. We'll get you hooked up. 6 minutes later, halfway home on the freeway in rush hour traffic for the second time for the day, some dude answers the phone who very gangster sounding. I don't know. I didn't know you worked for Xbox there, Ribo. But
this guy, that's way out of line.
This guy answered the phone. And, you know, I asked him flat out, okay, look, you know, I just got my Xbox here. What is error number 71? I can't get it to do anything. And he said, because everybody knows how ghetto you sound, Rabo. And he says, he lets out like this huge sigh. He's just like, oh, you know, like I had ruined his fucking day or something. And so I was like, you know, well, what's going on? He goes, well, error 71. He goes, basically, you're going to have to return this or send it out to us for repair. And I said, you know, he goes, how long did you have it? And I should have said 91 days, you know, just outside of warranty, just to see what he said, and then argue with him. But instead, I did tell him, I said, look, about 15 minutes. And at this point, the guy didn't know I already had a new one, you know. So I just told him, look, about 15 minutes, I just got home with it and did the patch. And he says, look, man, just take it back to the store. Just take it back. But he sounded like desperate almost, like it would make his day a lot easier. It was crazy. So I said, all right, you know, what's the deal here? Why? You know, what happened? And he goes, yeah, well, that unit's having trouble, so you're just going to – I mean, he, like, would not say anything until I was like, look, man – did the update kill the Xbox? And he totally is like, yeah, these updates, you know, there's a small percentage of Xboxes that are not making it through this update. And I was like, holy shit, you know, do you have any kind of a warning on the website or anything? The guy's like, no, man, look, this, you know, there's nothing. I just kind of talked with him for just a moment, you know, just now that I actually got him talking. He says, look, just don't get on Xbox Live until Monday. And then call us to make sure it's okay. Now, this was Wednesday night. I was not about to go that many days without being able to get on live. You know, I've got some people I talk to nightly on there. I've got arcade games to play. You know, I like to see what's going on, check out for new downloads. Not like we're ever going to see a new Xbox Live arcade game or anything, but, you know, I like to look. You know, so, fuck, man. I get home, and thank God, I think, I kept my hard drive the second time. Because I started to think that my hard drive was the problem, you know, because it happened right away on the new one, and I thought maybe the hard drive corrupted it. But I did keep it again, and it was like war. I was telling myself, no, I should just get rid of it. I should just get a new hard drive and start over because I don't want to have a problem again and go back to the store for a damn third time. So I said, fuck it, I'll keep it anyway. We'll see what happens. I'll go bitch, and it'll be a big funny joke if it does happen, you know, and I'll have to go get a fourth Xbox. So I come back, hook it all up. I actually like this one more than I like the second one because there's like this sticker that goes over the shiny part of your DVD drive on it, you know. And the second one, when I pulled the sticky part off, it left all the sticky shit on there, and I could not get it off. And I was kind of bummed. This one's all shiny and pretty, though, like my first one, so I'm stoked. So I came home, hooked it up, and I made sure to not plug in the Ethernet cable to it because I did not want to accidentally get on live like I would probably do, you know. So I left it unplugged. Turned it on, went through the setup thing, and I thought to myself, well, I want to see if I can play the arcade game still, because I'd heard that, you know, it's registered to your console and hard drive serial number. Well, fuck, I just fucked myself, because, you know, the Xbox is gone, and I got the same hard drive, so there's no way. I just wanted to verify, sure enough, they're all trials now. I have to be logged into Xbox Live to play my arcade games. Like, oh, I think I have 10 now. But, of course, I can't log in for 10 days, and 10 days without, or not 10 days, till Monday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday at least, so like 5 days or so. You know, I can't live that long with the Geometry Wars. That's asking too much, Microsoft. You know, no way. So I plugged my hard drive in and said, okay, well, those games don't work and whatnot. I guess I'll just have to play Marvel. I guess I'll just deal with Marvel. So, of course, I put Marvel in, and you know what the very first thing it tells me is? You need to update your console to play Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Suck.
Yeah, that was pretty lame. And so now I was, like, really pissed because it was like, well, I was going to deal with it before, but I can't not deal with playing a game that I'm in the middle of and way into that I just bought. You know, fuck that. So it says, do you want to update? And I know it's going to connect me to Xbox Live if I hit yes, but I'll do it anyway because I'm pissed. Well, I hit yes, and it must have pulled the update straight off of my hard drive because all of a sudden it updates it, and it's, you know, it says it's applying the update, and I went, oh my god, this is the fall update. I'm going to kill another Xbox. And I tell you what, when it rebooted, it sure took a while. Like, it restarted, and it stayed there, that screen where it shows the logo, you know, for a while. Like, it sat there for a good, like, couple of seconds, and I was like, motherfucker. But no, it popped right on, and it's been perfect ever since. I was able to hop on live that night. But from my understanding is, I guess it's only happening to the Xboxes. Now, I don't know how this is true or not. Microsoft says it's happening to the Xboxes, some that are new and don't have the spring update, and some that are refurbished and don't have the spring update, and less than 1% of the people are calling in with this issue. So who knows how true or not that is. So through all that, I mean, at least I have a working Xbox now again. I mean, you know, the other one was working fine up until like the last like week there, and then it just started to go downhill. So you know, my only problem, of course, is the arcade games now, which I can't always be logged in to live to play. I don't want to have to deal with that, and it's a hassle sometimes, and sometimes I don't want to be on live, and particularly just to play those games. So I called, you know, again, 1-800-4 my Xbox. 26 minutes I was on hold last time. This time, the whole conversation, I swear to God, was about another half an hour, and I get this jackass on the phone while I'm sitting there trying to play a game, does not understand what I'm saying to him. Like, he has no idea how this console operates at all, but he works for tech support for Microsoft. I'm like, look, man, all you have to do is push some buttons and register my fucking arcade games on my new console. Mine died. Okay, sir, have you tried to reboot your console? I'm like, are you even fucking listening to me? You know, I mean, this guy is just some robot reading off the... I was so pissed. I was so mad. Finally, I go, look, I can't be on live all day. I will not sit here and log this into live just to play an arcade game. Do you have a computer or something that uses your high-speed line? I said, yeah, I got a couple. So do you have a router? Hey, you asshole, what does that have to do with... Like, you know you can plug your Xbox into the router, right? Okay. I was so mad at this guy. Finally, I mean, I sort of got a half an hour yelling at this idiot. He says, okay, hold on. And he keeps leaving me to go check with somebody how to do this. And now I read this on the forum. Somebody else had to go through this, too. What they would do is you have to make a new Xbox Live Silver account. They're free, so you can make them all day if you want. You make a new Xbox Live Silver account, and then you fax them the receipt of exchange, the list of games that you have, your name, real name, address, phone number, freaking email address, your gamer tag, your new silver gamer tag, everything, right? And a description of the problem and why this happened, and the reference number the guy gave you to the phone number. So I write all that information down. I write the phone number down. I type up this nice little thing in OpenOffice. I had that's probably why they have fucked me up the ass with this so far. They know those aren't Microsoft fonts they're seeing on the other end of their fax there. And I had the receipt photocopy on the bottom. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. I faxed it later that day, 2 hours. So that was, what, Wednesday? It's now Sunday, and I still do not have the points on my new account. And I haven't heard from them. Not a goddamn word. Right now, the best part is the guy gave me the wrong number, the fax number too. Right, so he's like, this is the fax number, blah blah blah. I get all this together, I go to fax it, and I dial the number, and what do I hear through the fax machine? Thank you for calling 1-800 for my Xbox. You know, like, he read me the number I just called. And, you know, I should have noticed, but I didn't, because he didn't say for my Xbox, he read me the numbers. Jackass. So I call back. I get some bitch, I'm on the phone with another fucking 15 minutes just to get the fax number. She asked me every single piece of that information again before she would give me the fax number. And even then, she had to go clarify that my story, like, is true, and go look up the fax number from somebody else. On top of all of this, I mean, it's been like 2 hours of dealing with these people and having troubles with Xboxes and driving and returning and waiting in lines. And I mean, it's just been a pain in the ass.
Wow. Yeah, that's a fucked up story.
Yeah, I was not a happy camper. I am now, though, of course. I mean, I can deal with the arcade games like they are, but I still think it's bullshit, you know? They should be able to change it over to your new Xbox, like, no big deal. None of this funky business of making yourself a new silver account where they credit your points to, and you have to re-download them, and then I don't fucking know. I don't even care. I'm so pissed. But everything, I mean, at least the games I'm actually playing, you know, real retail games actually work just fine, and I am very tired of speaking. So, it's up to you guys what we do here in the future for the show, because we've got a couple of things that we would like to mention before we get into the whole Final Fantasy jizz fest. And if you guys want to take that, by all means, I'll comment here and there, but I am a little, my throat is parched and my hand is cramped from pushing this button.
Well, okay, you have some notes here on the new Twilight Princess, and I know nothing about this right now. I didn't read any of the reviews. Kobar?
I actually haven't read the review yet either.
Well, great. I actually didn't read a full review out of the 5 pages. I read the first two and everything after that. This was from, I think, 1UP.com is where I got this one in particular. They were giving out story and some spoilers, so I stopped reading after page two. Up to page two is fine, but after that, they even warn you. You know, they say, look, you know, we're going to give you a little bit of what happens and some, maybe some spoilers and a little storyline. So if you just want to avoid that, go ahead. But what I wanted to bring up about this game, at least, of course, is the controls. We talked about this before, that a lot of people are going to prefer to play the GameCube version because of the controls. But if the reviews I'm seeing, now 1UP had a review and a couple other places already had reviews of it up, of the Wii version, every single one of them assure me that the controls are fantastic with the Wii. That you control Link with the analog stick. Okay, imagine playing on the GameCube and your left hand does all the exact same movements and motions it did before. Now, your right hand, instead of pushing those crazy buttons over there, swings to you know, swing the sword, and you have the D-pad for your items and whatnot. Now, how bad is that? That doesn't sound that hard.
It could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know if I want to swing a sword every 5 seconds.
Okay,
at 3 o'clock in the morning when I play.
That's true, too, but you don't have to, like, swing a sword. You could, you know, twiddle your dinky. You know what I mean? What I'm saying here is that you don't have to make those huge, giant swings with it. You could pretend that you're, you know, you get the tweezers out and Ribo's taking care of business. It can be that subtle.
Oh. Wow. Wow. All right. Beatles, that was a good one.
So, you know, and if you want to do
right into it,
you want to do the spin attack thing. You shake the controller. You know, like when you're done. You know, you just shake it.
I really like that. I was never very good at spinning around the analog stick, so being able to, like, do that is nice.
That's why I brought that up, specifically for you, was because I remember you telling me a long time ago that you had some issue doing the circle motion, or whatever the hell the problem was, and that you just kind of shake the control. Now, what's neat, though, is somehow there's 7 different sword moves, I guess, that you can do. Now, your standard one is just like a horizontal slash. You can, like, push forward and swing, and he does, like, a vertical thrust or something like that. He'll come right at the guy. You shake it, and he spins around. There's 7 total, I guess.
That's really nice, because Link has been needing a little upgrade in combat technique.
Beyond hi,
and yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, but okay, one of the things I thought was really cool though too was the B button, which I guess is like a trigger, controls your second item. Now remember back to harken back to the olden days of Legend of Zelda, the first one. You had A and B items. That's exactly how they're going to have this set up, except for now you can quick switch out your items that are in that B slot. Like what's that called? BS Zelda, kind of like that, where you use the L and R shoulder buttons to rotate what's in that B slot. Makes it very nice and quick and easy to handle, but maybe a little bit better on this, because now you can pick up 4 different things instead of just 2 at a time, you know, like left or right. Now you have up, down, left, and right to decide which item you want to throw in that slot really quick, which I think is kind of nice. That keeps it nice and simple. If you're going to be doing a lot of, you know, swinging that Wiimote around and whatnot, you're not going to want to be fooling around with other buttons and whatnot, you know? So I think that's pretty neat. But one thing I have noticed is, out of the graphics of all of these reviews, they have screenshots up. I haven't seen a video yet, though, even though they're out there and the trailer is up. The graphics, I must say, I'm kind of disappointed. I mean, really, they do honestly look very last gen. And yeah, I know that's what the Wii is going for. You know, it doesn't have the Uber graphics processor, and that's fine if the gameplay is there. But it's rough to look at that after looking at Gears of War.
Well, okay, you also have to remember that this was made in development for the GameCube. This was last gen.
That's a good point. I understand.
And yes, the Wii will never look as good as the 360 or the PS3, but the Wii will look better than Twilight Princess does, because it was developed for a last-gen system.
Right. We have higher resolution textures on the Wii version, and that's about it, I guess. But it would have been nice to show, I mean, Zelda. This is, you know, as far as, you know, many, many, many people are concerned, the Nintendo franchise. You know what I mean? They should have given it a little extra love.
Well, if you look at the game with the mindset of the GameCube, it's stellar.
Yeah, it does look good for the GameCube, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm not complaining about the graphics so much as I'm saying don't expect to be wowed. You know what I mean? It is not, you know, maybe I'm just shocked because I'm used to seeing some phenomenal looking graphics, you know.
Yeah, see, the thing is that your thing with the graphics now, I'm not even sure you can comment on it, because you're playing a 360 on a freaking LCD monitor at insane resolution. So everything now, you're going to compare
5 inches from his face.
I know, 5 inches from your face. So everything now has to compare to that as far as, oh my god, this is great. So the screenshots I've seen of the Zelda look amazing to me. I mean,
I saw that. Game doesn't look so hot.
No, it doesn't look hot to you because of what... Because you've been playing Oblivion at freaking 3,000 by 2,000, 5 inches from your face on a 21-inch LCD monitor. I mean, come on. Of course it's not going to look like that.
No, I know. I realize that. I'm just saying it's so drastic. It's almost a shock, though, to the system. I mean, I know it's going to be fun, but like my eyeballs were like, whoa, what is this now? You know, they had to take a step back and like refocus. Are we looking at this right? Get closer. You know, maybe further away would help. I don't know. Like it was just lower than what I expected from the Wii is, I guess, what I'm saying. But I understand that it was developed for the freaking GameCube, I guess, at first and all that, but I assume they'd bump it up a little bit.
Robert, we should make a C4 play some PS1 games for a while.
Exactly.
No.
You know what it's like.
No, I know how bad they are. I'm just saying, I thought we were past all that. And here comes Zelda, a game I'm going to play and like.
Better play it.
I'm gonna, whether I want to or not.
After all this, you better play it.
And no, the Wii will never be like the 360 and the PS3. That's
we know that. I've never claimed that it would be. I'm not saying that today either. I'm just saying it's a shock to see how drastically low it is, like, compared to, is all. It's just like, you know, we could sit here and bullshit about the numbers all day and talk about, you know, gameplay over graphics and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, wow, when you see it versus, like Ribo said, Oblivion, you get, you know, fuck, man, why doesn't every game kind of look like that, you know? Even Enchanted Arms looks really good. Enchanted Arms look fucking amazing. And then I go on some shit like Phantasy Star Universe, it doesn't look that good, though. And even that, like, I mean, shit, they could have pulled that off on a hell, they put it on the PS2.
Yeah, they pulled it off on the PS2. Yeah,
this is why it looks like ass. But, I mean, it's just like, exactly. It's like, wow. Sure, the game was great, and I did not fault it for the graphics, whatever. But we'll see. In any case. What did I have left to say about Zelda? What's his name? Midna? This little fucking imp? Midna. Now, was this you, Ribo, that told me about the character?
No, that's supposed to be Cobra.
No, that wasn't him either. I can't remember where I got this
from. I was telling you about another game that's like Zelda called Akami, but...
No.
Had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, no, I know what Akami is. Huh, I can't remember who told me about this guy to begin with. In any case, it was in the review, and they mentioned this, you have like a little imp that like cruises around with you, and I totally don't understand it. I cannot fathom how they worked this imp into the story. I have no idea how they would work in like this bad guy like imp into the story to hang out with Link. He's like a bad guy from what it sounds like, because you know, he always seems like he's up to his own motives, and he like makes Link do things that benefit him. You know, and he's a very creepy-looking bad guy that hangs out with Link. And he, yeah, it's weird. And it, I guess it's, I'm not so sure if it's in the normal world, but when he's in the Twilight Zone, the Twilight Realm, I guess he's, like, riding on Link, because Link is a wolf, you know. And I guess he, like, rides around with Link when you're in the Twilight Realm, which, like, spreads, I guess, which is kind of cool. From what I was reading, it sounded like it traveled. Like, I imagine it just progresses with your gameplay, and they have it set points, you know, where it decides to take over another village or whatnot.
Yeah, I doubt they'll do a time limit thing like Majora's Mask.
That would be too cool and reserved for something like, oh, Oblivion, I don't know. So, then I guess this, you know, the dark Twilight Zone or whatever, it turns the friendly people into ghosts and whatnot, and they're all freaking out because they don't know what's going on. And it sounds an awful lot like A Link to the Past. Doesn't it? Except for you're not a pink bunny. You're a wolf.
Right. Well, and every Zelda for quite a while now has had that dual world thing. Like in Ocarina of Time, it was the past and present.
Right. But this is, I don't know, it feels like it was like, hey, this was a huge game, let's make a 3D version of it and change some names, almost. You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like, I'm sure this is going to be a great game, but I wonder how much of this is just throwbacks to Link to the Past.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either.
I think most people would too. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm wondering. I'm just saying. You know, I can't wait to play this, and I'm sure most of the world can't wait to play this either. I mean, this is going to be huge. But, you know, who knows? We shall see. I'm excited. Other excitement. Two other games came out in the last week also. More RPG. Well, kind of anyway. Ribo's going to have something to say about this one. For the Nintendo DS, Children of Mana came out. It was $30. I actually picked it up today. I haven't actually had a chance to play it at all. It made it into as far as to getting into the DS, though. And then we had to work on the show notes and stuff like that.
The plastic was taken off.
Yes, sir, it was. I am ready to go.
You know, wow. It's very impressive.
It is. I just need some chili, you know, something that'll plant me on the bowl for a couple of hours, and I can get started on it.
Yeah, you'll like this game, C4. It's pretty much a straight dungeon crawler with Secret of Mana elements into it. I mean, it has the same... Remember the little spirits you can use in Secret of Mana?
Totally.
Yeah, it has those. You can select which one you want to be your companion spirit when you go into the dungeons.
Nice.
And each one has a specific, you know, a magic that they do. But pretty much it's go to town, get a quest, go to one of the dungeons, kill everything in the dungeon, come back, get another quest, and so forth and so on.
I am so okay with that.
Yeah, I know. You have no problem with that. The thing is that we have not received a Secret of Mana sequel yet. With every Mana game they've released so far, after Secret of Mana,
it's been something else.
It's been an offshoot. We had Legend of Mana on the PS1, which sucked. You had Sword of Mana, which was a remake of Final Fantasy Adventure on the Game Boy Advance, and that was pretty bad. Now you have this, which I'm not a fan of dungeon crawlers, but I mean, as far as a dungeon crawler goes, it does feel pretty solid. I mean, there's a lot of dungeons and there's a lot of stuff to do, and from what I understand, it has a pretty burly multiplayer mode because multiplayer is co-op.
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard too.
That could be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, if you have a bunch of friends to play. What would be cool is if they start getting this, if they start really utilizing their Wi-Fi technology, and I could play online, like, with you or somebody over a router, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be really, really cool.
They're not quite there yet with those DS games yet, but, I mean, they'll probably get there in the next year or two.
Yeah, yeah. And if not, you know, maybe they'll re-envision the DS2 or something someday down the road.
Oh, you know there's going to be another version of the DS coming out. I mean, come on, this is Nintendo.
What? From Nintendo? No way.
They had the balls to say that there's another Wii coming out before the original. Yeah.
That's a good
That's
point.
That's insane.
That is a bit ridiculous.
That's balls right there.
Children of Mana is getting pretty good reviews everywhere that I've looked, though. So I'm like, I'm totally excited to play. I've wanted another game that I can really get into on the DS. Like, most of the ones I have are, like, pick-up-and-play-for-five-minute types, which is fine for me every so often, but I've discovered I'd rather play a long game and have something I can get into over and over and over, and I actually might contend for my fingers with the Xbox 360 games I have. This game might be the one. If not, I mean, you know, there's that Castlevania game coming out too, which I can't wait for, and of course, Final Fantasy 3.
And Final Fantasy 5 coming out in a couple days.
Oh, isn't that for the Advance?
It is! What is your problem with having the cart stick out? I don't get it. It doesn't stick out that much.
Speaking of such abortions...
It doesn't stick out that much. It's not like the Game Boy to the Game Boy SP where it was like, you know, like 3 inches sticking out. It just sticks out a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I've got a couple of GBA carts over here still.
I mean, it sticks
They're
out like
bad.
What half it. It sticks out like, you know, not even half an inch. I mean, are you jealous because it's bigger than the size of your
pocket? Oh, I knew that was coming. I knew it. Oh. I saw it. Ah, burn! Nice.
Had to get you back.
I deserve it. Now, for the PC, Neverwinter Nights 2 from our friends at Atari and Obsidian just came out too. I've seen a couple people buy this, and they seem oblivious to the fact that it doesn't run on Linux, assholes. And I basically have to boycott this game simply for that reason. I mean, I'm really going to be a stickler about this. It's getting good reviews, though. Now, here's the thing.
I don't see how they can't play it.
Wait, don't blow our wad yet. Okay, here's the thing. There's a little controversy with this, too. Okay, now, who does Jeff Green write for? He's the editor of what used to be Computer Gaming World, right? Yes, that's my favorite magazine, yeah. And he's my fucking hero. This guy's awesome. However, today in our travels around whatever... Now, what website? This is what I can't remember. What website is that? So, 1UP?
1UP.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I could not remember if it was 1UP or that joystick one for some reason. So, we were poking around today to try to find some just a few tidbits here and there of Neverwinter Nights 2, and what we came across was that most of the review, you know, the big ones, say GameStop's, IGN's, crap like that, GameSpy's and whatnot, will give this game an 8, a 9, in that area, right? They gave it like a 5 out of 10. And then, after the other reviews came out, they pulled their review and the score. And they're going to post another one soon that is more favorable. And I believe the word that he used was fair.
Hmm.
I call bullshit on this.
Yes.
Yeah. 1UP got a letter saying, hey, do you like our advertisement?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what to think about that.
We all know 1UP or whores.
Well, yeah, I know.
We know
but,
this.
I mean, come on. I know. It pains me to see.
They used to be really fair, I thought.
Did it? I don't remember 1UP ever being fair.
I
remember reading a lot of real scathing reviews from that place.
Were they reader reviews?
Big games, too, yeah.
They were reader reviews?
No, real reviews.
Oh, okay, real, okay. Huh, well, okay, I don't know. I never spent a whole lot of time there, though, so I couldn't say.
The reader reviews are either 1 or 10.
That's a good point.
Pretty much.
Like Tales of the Abyss being a 50 and Valkyrie Profile 2 being a 50?
Yeah.
Sorry, Final Dragon. I couldn't shower you with praise the whole day. You know that. Now, so anyway, we looked on the Neverwinter forums just to see. I wanted to get a good impression of what people were saying. And let me put it this way. Removing the general forum from the list of forums, okay? General bullshit chat, you know, because that's about, you know, they got news in there, too, about not video game stuff, you know what I mean? So take general chat out of the equation. And if you add up the total posts and threads on all the forums there, there's like 5 or 6, they are still less than the technical support forum for Neverwinter Nights 2. And I had a curiosity. I had to go digging through it to see what it was. I mean, everything from the, you know, because a secure ROM, you can't play it with, any kind of CD-ROM virtualization software, you know what I mean? That's not the right word. What am I thinking of? You know what I'm talking about, though? Like, emulation.
The ones that mount a CD-ROM drive and you can put it off your hard drive, that kind of thing.
Right. It's not working right with a lot of those.
It's supported anyway.
It's not that it's supported. No. Here's the thing. It's not that they're playing the game off of that. It's that they've just simply have that software installed using their real game disk, and the game refuses to run. Right.
Secure-ROM will do that if, like, alcohol's on the system.
Right, right.
It'll go, whoa, alcohol's there. Sorry.
Gotcha. Which is completely bullshit, you know? And then, I mean, they were having problems with a certain patch for Windows, okay? You know, a certain patch that was installed, a hotfix. Some people were taking that out and that would work. Some people were having problems with it detects the game, but it won't run because it can't get past the secure ROM. Some people had problems with it overheating and killing a video card. People had problems with deleting all of your save games when it crashes, which is quite often. They had problems with it taking, multiple. Like, imagine hitting quick save and having to wait 10, 20 seconds for a game to save. Quick save. That's the quick save button. They had problems with textures not loading. Like, the main screen even, some guy had a screenshot. It was awesome. They have the screenshot of the title screen where it's like they're missing texture, like there's no texture there, but there's supposed to be. So the game throws up a texture that just says, it's just, there is no texture here. And it's like four different colors and very bright and ugly, but you can see the menu items on the screen still.
You know, it seems like to me that we're going back to the late 90s for PC gaming when games are being released completely unfinished.
Totally. Yeah, this is, it's horrible. I thought they were doing pretty good, too.
Yeah, they did pretty good for a while.
There's a lot of crap coming out, too.
I mean, I'm getting awfully whiny.
Neverwinter Nights is not alone.
That's true. I'm getting awfully whiny about this topic, but it's kind of bullshit. These people paid, really good money for this game. It's a $50 game. Plus, there's a special edition of it, I think. I can't remember now. And, basically, some of the other problems are, you can't play this game at anything over, like, 5 frames per second with a supercomputer. And that's not to say that these people aren't setting it down to the lowest options. Honest to God, people with computers better than mine, setting it on the absolute lowest of the low settings to where the game looks like ass and it's still running like dog shit. Lots of people reporting freezes, spontaneous computer reboots, overheating video cards. There's a problem with the way that they throttle the video card, apparently, too. This is a real legitimate problem.
And so my comment was, how the hell do these reviewers actually play the game long enough to give it a 9?
Liars, they don't. There's no way. There's no way. They're fanboy jackasses like me about, Dungeons & Dragons games, and they just, slap a 9 on there because it booted up for them once. I don't know. I mean, deleting your save games and overheating your video card is bad enough. But with all the extra problems, that it doesn't even freaking run that well once it does run.
Overheating my video card is like the worst thing a game can do.
Yeah, any kind of damage to your hardware.
If it's actually breaking my shit.
That should be. And unfortunately, thanks to the license agreement you agreed to, the minute you poked a hole in the plastic, it's your fault and not their problem, which is another complete load of crap. So, of course, the community's trying to come up with a list of known video cards that work, and won't explode and whatnot. I mean, it's absolutely horrible what has happened to this poor game. And all I have to say is I told you so, Atari. This is what you get for having Obsidian do the game and not Black Isle.
No, it's because they angered the Linux gods.
That's what it is right there, using Direct3D and not OpenGL. I swear to God. But, unfortunately, now this game, the tool set doesn't start up a lot of the time for the people. If you remove that, a lot of the game, imagine you installed the game and the creator thing, the tool set thing for it, and then decided you'll never use it, so you remove it. It pulls out, some of the media files of the game now. So you have to reinstall the game. I mean, that's how well they thought this through. A lot of people can't get it to install, not because it won't read in their drive, not because they've got secure ROM, not because blah, 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 but simply because it thinks a 200-gig hard drive is out of space when it's 85% free. You know what I mean? The problem list for this game was outrageously huge. I'm surprised some people are even able to play it. Everybody is experiencing this incredible lag, and it seems like it's worse on a dual-processor machine. So, I mean, I don't even know what to think about this anymore. I was really curious about it and really excited about it before, and now I'm like, I'm just going to have to wait, like, months for enough patches to make this game playable. And, of course, you know, my dumbass, it'll never work probably in Linux, I'm sure. You know, but I, if push comes to shove, I could, you know, suck it up and reboot into Windows and play it. But I don't even know if I care to anymore, you know? I mean, why spend all that amount of time in Windows, mind you, okay? Not speaking from the Linux fanboy trying to be wannabe gamer, okay? In Windows trying to troubleshoot a goddamn game. If you look on the forum, these guys are posting their configuration files. Oh, I was able to get an extra frame, you know, when zoomed all the way out with these options. Oh, this one didn't overheat my video card here. Get this crazy hack tool and tell it to make your video card run your fans at 100% all the time. Try it, you know, and it's like, fuck that noise, you know? Fuck that. You don't need to go through all this. For $15, you can get Neverwinter Nights Diamond Edition, get it all, and fucking have the same experience, I'm sure, without the graphics.
It's nice to be able to do that stuff, but the need to do all those crazy hacks and all that stuff just to get make it playable, that's just way fucked.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Now,
Ridiculous.
I am done for the evening. I'm going to bend over and pass the mics to these two.
You're not done yet.
I'm not done yet. All right, well, with that, let the game begin.
I'm going to let
Cobra All right, so I figure first we'll start about the story and the world and the overall setting and whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay, the world is very alive. Like, you're walking through a town and people are moving around doing their thing, and it's just... you go into a town and it just feels real and nice.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually, the world that you're in is Avalis, which is from Final Fantasy Tactics Advance and the original Final Fantasy Tactics. But unfortunately, they went with more of the Final Fantasy Tactics Advance legend and some of the races. Like, explain the races. Which you have the Vera, which are the big bunny girls, and... you have the Banga, who are these lizard guys.
Yeah, you have Humes, obviously, Vera, which are the bunny people. The Moogles are a little different. They like more beast-like Vera. You know, they have bunny-like ears and the way bat
wings. They're so cute, though.
Yeah, they did a good job with the Moogles.
The
Banga
are
like these lizard-type things. They walk on two legs.
And, yeah, they're basically like the big brutes of the world.
Well, and then there's the Seek, which are these gigantic, like, pig-type boar thing.
Right, and everybody interacts with each other like it's no big deal, you know.
Except for Vera.
I haven't gotten to the Vera world yet.
The Vera are actually mostly... what's the word when a race is afraid of everybody else and stays?
Oh, xenophobic?
Yeah, they're mostly xenophobic. There's just a few Vera spread out the world otherwise. But
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're
getting ahead of ourselves. Let's tell them the story.
Okay, the coolest thing about the story is you're not saving the world.
Right.
Okay, you are still a 17-year-old androgynous male, but you're not... You're not fighting against some uber demon that's trying to just destroy all. You're just trying to save your country, who's in between a battle between two empires that are trying to take over each other.
Yeah, basically, you're this kid who's a street rat, and he's a thief. Okay, C4. So I know you'll like that guy. And and basically, his brother was killed in this plot to murder the king of this neutral country that you live in. And basically, this neutral country was invaded by the Kingdom of Arcadia. And the Kingdom of Arcadia is like this warlike country, and they're trying to conquer another kingdom that's on the other side of this neutral country you live in. The neutral country is called Dalmasca. And basically, what happened was the king was going to allow the Arcadians to come in and occupy their city while they try to take over the other country, but there was a coup, and basically what they did was they assassinated the king. So now they do occupy the country, and there's no rightful heir. Basically, Arcadia is just, they basically control Dalmasca now. So you're this kid, and you're this street rat who just basically does not, you know, he's like this kid who doesn't like the empire, you know. He wants to try to take back the city, But, you know, he's a kid. He doesn't know what he's doing. So, how would you describe his motivation, Cobar?
Well, as far as being a thief, he's trying to basically be like Robin Hood. He's trying to steal back from the Empire as much as he can.
What's my motivation here?
And so he does whatever little thing he can do to strike back at the Empire.
Right. So one night, he decides to break into the palace and steal some treasure. And it just happens to be on the same night that they're inducting this new consul, who is a seemingly good guy. Now, he's basically a representative from Arcadia, and he's coming into Dalmasca, and he's going to be the overseer. And he appears to be a good guy. I haven't gotten too far into the story yet where it shows me otherwise. What do you think?
What now? You cut off.
I hear noises. I'm talking about the consul, Beers.
Right.
Who's the new consul in the city. And I don't know his motivation
yet.
Vane
is the guy you're talking about.
Vane, I'm sorry. Yeah, and I don't know his name. He seems like a good guy, but I don't know.
Yeah,
what
we'll leave that for other people to discover themselves.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the point of the story is it's a lot more politically driven than past Final Fantasies and a lot of other RPGs. It's about what's going on with these different countries and the political field of the world, and it does a lot to give each area character because you know more about the culture of the people. And, like, what's going on and what makes them Dalmascans and what makes them Arcadians and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it does a real good job.
Yeah, I mean, especially because it distinguishes the Arcadians from the Dalmascans. Like, the Arcadians, they have these British accents. And it just kind of lends credibility to their evilness. Because, I don't know, it's just cooler when you have a movie or a TV show or whatever. And the bad guy has this, like, really cool British accent. You know, over some wimpy, like, you know, American Midwestern accent or something like that. He's got this real evil-sounding British accent, so it's pretty cool.
It's also nice because the plot feels more real because it's a situation that we as like, regular humans can relate with. It's because a demon lord has never tried to destroy Earth, but Hitler has tried to take it over.
Right. Right. It's definitely more grounded in reality if you want to apply reality to a Final Fantasy game.
Well, I mean,
you want
to see plot,
reality, you have,
you
want to see reality, you have bunny girls walking around with, you know, bow and arrows and stuff.
We can hope.
We can only hope.
I also think that they did a really good job with the character development. All the characters, I feel very attached to them. They feel a lot more rounded than a lot of RPGs have been. The voice acting is very well done.
Yeah, all the characters have, like, clear motivations, or fairly clear motivations for what they're doing. I mean, you have Van, who's, like, this idealistic kid who, you know, he's naive and he's new to the world. And it has a lot of Star Wars overtones in this game. So Van's basically, think of him like a Luke Skywalker-type character. And, like, in the first few hours of the game, you meet who I think is, like, the coolest character so far, Balthier. Who's basically...
Balthier's the shit.
Balthier and his companion Fran, who's the bunny girl.
Yeah.
And basically, they're the Han Solo and Chewbacca of this world. And Balthier's a sky pirate, okay? Now, how cool is that? He's a sky pirate. He flies around this, like, badass airship. And, but he sounds like James Bond, okay? So,
that's awesome.
So, he does. It's like if James Bond was playing Han Solo, okay? And Fran is Fran's more, how would you describe Fran? He doesn't really talk very much.
Fran is actually quite mysterious, and she stays mysterious up until where I am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Fran.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so she's basically his Chewie. So anyway, what happens is Van, the Luke Skywalker, he decides to infiltrate the palace on the same night that new consul has come to town. And at the same time, it just so happens that the local resistance, who's trying to take back Dalmasca, also tries to break into the palace. And at the same time, Balthier and Fran show up, and they get into the palace too. And they're after this stone, and everything snowballs from there. So it kind of starts out where it's just like the simple story of the simple kid who's just doing whatever he has to do to try to take back the city bit by bit. in how he feels like he's going to take it back to this whole big political thing that just explodes all over the place.
It's actually very, very interesting.
Yeah. It's a real cool story.
All right, I think that's enough of the story. We don't want to give away any more than that.
Okay, that's true, because you have to play it in order to really know what's going on.
Yeah. So on to the combat.
Yeah, the combat is very MMO style, and if anybody's played Final Fantasy XI, I know C4 has. And Cobra, did you play Final Fantasy XI?
Oh!
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
I played it a little bit.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
No, but the combat is a little bit different than the previous Final Fantasy.
Cobra plays Final Fantasy.
He does?
It's happened before. It'll probably happen again.
No. But like in the original, in the other Final Fantasies, basically what happens is, you've played them before, I know. You walk around kind of this big overworld map thing, the screen blows up into a bunch of little crystals or whatever, then all of a sudden you're into some kind of new engine where you have your three characters there and they're in some kind of turn-based fighting system, which I know, it's good, I love it. It's Final Fantasy, but it's a little bit different. You don't actually go into a sub-engine this time. Everything's pretty much real-time. And it's kind of like a fake real time. It's not. You still have turns, but
in the end, this is still a menu-driven ATB system.
Right. It's still menu-driven. You still have turns, but things. I mean, enemies appear on screen, kind of like in Chrono Trigger. Say that.
Sure.
No.
There's a lot of them. A lot of them are already on screen. Some of them jump out from like a bush, or they come down.
Yeah.
A spider might come down from the ceiling.
Right.
It's at first you might feel like it's a little automated, because like in a regular battle you might hit attack and then everybody goes and attacks it until it's dead and then you move on to the next thing. And at first I wasn't sure if I liked it, but then I realized that, you know, if this was like, say, Final Fantasy X or Enchanted Arms or anything else, I would be pressing attack, 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 attack until the thing was dead on a normal battle anyway.
Right, you kind of have to wean yourself off of that, because I've been doing that, even though I don't have to.
And when the shit hits the fan, and believe me, it does a lot. This game likes to kick your ass. When the shit hits the fan, you got to be on the ball anyway.
Yeah, because like in a regular MMO, things can aggro you and they start to link. Okay, so you can be in an area where you're fighting, say, a skeleton, and there's like two other skeletons up ahead. And all of a sudden, they'll get close to you, and they'll sense that their skeleton buddy's getting ganged up on, so they'll join in the fight. And enemies can actually swarm you in this game, where you start, like, you're fighting one guy, and all of a sudden you're fighting five guys. And they're all just taking your part.
And you can run away and, like, cause a train and all kinds of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, things get ugly real fast in this game.
Next is the Gambit system, and this is basically the AI of your party members, including whatever character you have as the leader, if you would like.
This is the best AI system ever. I'm going to go on a limb and say that right now.
But they did a pretty darn good job, because let's say you have the three people in your party, and two of them are set to heal if anybody gets below 50% of their health. Well, if the damage isn't so great and it only really requires one heal, only one of them will heal. They won't overheal. If the damage is great enough that they need both heals, then both of them will go ahead and cast.
Right, and then also in your Gambit AI, what you can do is you have you can set it in tiers, right? So you start out with like one tier and two tier, and you can set whichever one is the most important. So you'd rather have them attack than heal. You can have it where your first tier is for them to attack and your second tier is for them to heal, or you can switch it around if you want your character to heal before he attacks. Then he decides which one is more important through the AI. And then as you go along, you can unlock other tiers into your Gambit. So I think you can have like up to 8 or 9, right? Or is it 10?
No, I want to say it's 12.
Is it 12?
It might be only 8 or 9, but it's quite a few.
Well, you can have a bunch of tiers, so you can determine which action takes precedence over something else. The thing about the AI system is that there's a ton of different actions you can have them do. You can have your character basically where you can have your NPC attack any target that comes along. You can have them attack just the leader's target. You can have any target that's attacking the leader. And there's just a bunch of different gambits. And you actually have to buy them as you go along. So you do have to make a decision. Or find them in the world. You make a decision on what you want your character to do. And then they can attack, they can use potions, you can have some guy who just sits back and let's say you're fighting a bunch of enemies that do a lot of blind attacks. You can have your NPC just sit there and just distribute eye drops to everybody so they don't get blind.
I mean, you can also choose to barely or not at all use the gambit system, because you can at any point take over and say, no, I don't want you to use the gambits right now, I want you to do this specific thing, and they will do that no matter what.
Right, you can switch it on and off, and even if they're on, you can still switch to that character. Let's say someone's attacking, and all of a sudden you want to heal, and you don't want to go into the gambit menu real fast. You can always switch to that character and just select an item, select, like, use potion on somebody, and they'll do it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. The only problem I have with the AI, which is not a huge deal, it's workable, is let's say I have, again, we'll use the heal example. Let's say I have two people in the group that are set to heal. The topmost in the list, which is not changeable, the topmost person in the list will heal first. And my main healer, the person who's best at magic, is Pinello, and she is at the very bottom no matter what.
Right, so.
So you have to set her gambit a little higher than anybody else's, like make her 50% and anybody else 40.
Right, that's how you kind of take care of that. Now, there's kind of a thing, the bad part about one of the new systems in this is what's called the license board. And basically, it sounds like a cool idea where you can spec out a character with a bunch of different skills on this board. But the thing is that everybody has the same board. So, for example, on the board,
you start at the same place.
And they start pretty much at the same spot. So, let's say you have, like, Balthier. Balthier is supposed to be, like, the sky pirate, right? He starts out in the same spot as, say, a character called Ash, who's supposed to be a warrior. Now, they both have the same skills. Now, you can take Balthier anywhere you want, but let's say you want to give him a bunch of steel skills. Well, let's say that in this case, there's a magic skill you have to take before you can take a steel skill. So he's got to learn like a little bit of magic before he can learn steel, which doesn't make any sense to me.
It would have been nice if they had given each character their own license board, which was set up slightly different. But it's workable. I'm not too worried about the license board.
It just, you know, I'm used to classes and used to like assigning different characters to different classes. Every Final Fantasy game, even like 10 and 8, where they don't have set classes, the characters are like, you know, you have your mage, you have your warrior, that kind of thing. This one you kind of have to do it all yourself, and you get skills that you don't really necessarily need.
Especially later on, that stops happening because, like, there'll be whole branches of the license board that are dedicated to magic and whole branches that are dedicated to attacking and et cetera, et cetera. So when you get away from the middle, that changes.
Right, right. But, yeah.
Well, let me ask something here real quick. The characters that you have in your party, how many party members are there?
You can have three active and there's six total.
Okay, so you can switch dudes in and out.
Anytime you want.
Even in combat, as long as they're not the target. If they are the target of any action in both positive or negative, they cannot be pulled out. And there are bosses that will target your entire group.
Okay.
Right, because you pretty much have everybody that's every playable character you have in the game, you pretty much have them throughout the game.
Real early on, you have everybody.
Yeah, you meet pretty much the entire cast almost right away. It's not like, you know, in Final Fantasy the other Final Fantasies where, like, towards the end of the game, you get this new guy you have to kind of learn.
Right. Of course, you can imagine.
Go on.
I was going to say, of course, you can imagine. I'm trying to look at this, of course, from, you know, maybe a Final Fantasy VI perspective where I had a large group of people which I only took a few out at a time with. That's kind of what I was just kind of curious about.
Right.
Since for a while now they've been made so you take everybody out, and so they're all a major part of the story, and no matter what, they're there, but you can only fight with a few of them.
I see. Okay.
Did we talk about the graphics?
Not really. The graphics, although they are PS2, and probably not as good as, say, Valkyrie Profile, because I have to say I've seen screenshots of that, and it is very beautiful. They did a very good job with the graphics, specifically in the style. I really like the different styles of the graphics, and you go into a jungle, and you feel like you're in a jungle, and they did a really good job. Or you go into the desert, and it really feels like the desert. And
right, environments are pretty large, kind of like an MMO. It's not as big as, you know, Final Fantasy XI zones. And everything's zoned, by the way. It's not like you're on an overhead world and then, you know, you walk through a forest or whatnot. Everything's in a zone, kind of like in Final Fantasy XI. You move from one zone to the other.
I think they struck a really good balance between keeping things kind of constricted so that the story could progress properly while opening it up so that you could explore and whatnot. I also have to say, while we're talking about loading is actually quite nice in this game. It is not bad at all.
No, yeah, loadings are pretty good.
The loading times are quite minimal.
Mm-hmm. I would say the graphics are pretty much on par with Metal Gear Solid 3, which had really good graphics when it the CGI is amazing. Would you say it's almost as good as Advent Children?
That is a bold statement, but it's certainly close.
It's close, right?
It does look really good. I mean, I've even seen the opening thing and was just blown away. It does look amazing.
Yeah, they do a good job with the CGI. C4 likes to point out it's pretty much all they have.
That's harsh. That's harsh.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of little things in the...
That's just my major complaint with most of the Final Fantasies, the recent ones, basically 7 and on, 7 being the one where it introduced this crap, and that's usually my biggest complaint with these kind of games.
And I don't really mind it, because the biggest reason I play these games is for the story. I mean, no RPG has, like, the greatest strategy or difficulty ever. I mean, it's mostly attack, 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 and then you get to a boss, and maybe now you have to think a little bit more. It's mostly about the story. And
so absolutely.
The CGI does a good job of progressing the story in something a little more pretty.
Definitely.
that's a good way to put it, yeah.
It's a good way to put it, except for the fact that, you know, the last couple of Final Fantasy games that we've had have been more CGI than, you know, and less gameplay.
Okay, let's get this out right now. Why do you hate the current Final Fantasy series? Explain to the listeners what your beef
is. Okay.
Because I don't understand.
You can not understand it all you want. It's pretty simple. I don't really have a problem with 12. I haven't had a chance to play it myself or see,
okay,
you know,
no,
anything beyond the intro.
I mean the others.
If I had to break it down per game, I would have to, because they're not all the same problem. One of the things that annoyed the absolute piss out of me was, I think it was on, it wasn't 10, it was, it must have been 9, it felt like Resident Evil, with like the static backgrounds that didn't move.
Oh, you mean 8?
8, I don't remember which one it was, but yeah, it had to be 8, because
it had to be 8,
I remember the characters for 9, yeah. I don't know, it's just a constant little nitpicking things that I don't like in the RPG realm also, like these fucking minigames with the cards or whatever the hell it is that you're doing. I can't stand all that stuff, and I just prefer to ignore it, and thankfully you can. The problem is that it's there nagging me, like something I need to do, and something I need to get on, like right away for some reason, I just don't feel I need to. A 12-minute spell is always nice, too, in the middle of every combat. Okay, I don't get that either. It's like, you know, I don't want to watch... What was that one called? Knights of the Round or something? Fucking Christ! You know, it's maddening. Why the fuck would they do that? It doesn't seem very good to me, and one of my biggest complaints with any RPG, it just so happens Final Fantasy games tend to stick to this, which is why I asked my question earlier about can you swap the dudes in and out. And the reason I excuse 6 from this is because they had a variety of characters, a large variety. They had, you know, like 20 dudes, not like 5 or 6 guys and you play with 3 or 4 of them. They had, you know, every class and then some crazy shit represented so you could kind of make your party. The RPGs I like the most are the ones where I get to create each individual party member. You know what I mean? Like, it just gives me a little bit more of a personal feeling. So it's not like it's a Final Fantasy problem or something I'm attacking about Final Fantasy. It's RPGs as a whole that I can't stand. They say, this is your main guy. Fighter dude that looks like a girl with a big sword and girly hair. This is your caster, some chick who doesn't talk very much. This, you know what I mean? It drives me crazy because I don't get a good attachment to my characters.
How is Xeno Saga different?
It really wasn't. It really, really wasn't. But I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Well, maybe it was something about the combat or something I liked better. I played through the first one and loved it, and I tried to play the second one and couldn't. So, I mean, you know, I can't explain that. I've played, you know, countless Final Fantasy games and don't like anything from 7 on. 7, I'm sure I would have enjoyed thoroughly if I don't even remember why I stopped playing that now. Oh, I think I played Baldur's Gate 2. Something happened. Either I lost my save game, something happened, and I stopped Final Fantasy VII. And I was actually enjoying myself. You know, I was having a pretty good time, but I was a little tired of the excessive CGI or the... It wasn't even that. What the hell was the problem with that one? Was it the spells? Did I have the long-ass spells in that one, too?
That's the one where
that one had the big...
Oh!
Yeah.
That's probably the worst offender of that.
You know, but this is the taste that leaves in your mouth, you know?
But ever since that one, they had it where you can switch that off after you see the first one.
What a good idea. I'm glad they innovated that one in there finally. You know what I mean? It's just like it was annoying and it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but they did it since 8 where you could turn off the excessive...
Right, but 8 had its own realm of problems that I couldn't stand. There was nothing I liked about 8.
I don't think anybody liked 8. 8's one of the lowest ones there is.
I liked 8 a lot more than 7.
Yeah.
Now, see, I think that was probably the worst one, I'd say. 8, I think, of them all.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
I have to agree.
And then with 9, I have a hard time remembering 9. I actually remember 10 and 8 a whole lot better than 9 for some reason.
No one remembers 9.
Why is this?
I don't know. I don't understand why that was. I think it's because I don't know. I can't really explain why no one remembers 9. I don't hear anything about 9.
You know, considered to be a good game or what? Because I remember them saying something about going back to the way it was, and I remember seeing the black mage-looking dude on the cover.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a good game for the time. It was a generic RPG. Nothing stood out about 9. I think that's why no one remembers it.
Okay, and we hit 10, of course.
Because it had the new CGI, and then 10 stands
10 is
out
the beta test
the first one
for Advent Children, you know, or Spirits Within.
I don't actually remember all that much CGI in 10.
The first 2.5 hours, I got to play for like 15 minutes, honest to God.
First hour of Xenosaga, you're watching a 40-minute video. I mean, what are you talking
about? Bullshit, that's way later into the game.
Oh, come on.
No, that's 45. There's 45-minute CGI in there. There's a couple, but I'm playing in between. I don't know, and I liked the characters in that, which was odd because it was a sci-fi RPG. I should have hated Xenosaga, and I loved the first one. I really did, and I tried to play the second one.
This is true.
And I don't know what it was. The second one just didn't feel great to me. I mean, the first one wasn't perfect. There was a lot of stuff I loved about it, but I didn't like the way they used the mechs in that. I mean, the game wasn't perfect, but it seemed to do a lot of things. Okay.
No, I'm not attacking it. I'm just trying to see where you're coming from.
Yeah, inconsistent is the only thing I can come up with. I just don't know why. I can like one, but not the other. Maybe, you know, a little bit of, I don't like the world that they put me in some of the Final Fantasies, the weird mix of technology and old shit that they have. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's fat. Sometimes it's cool. Like in 6, it has some of the places a very industrial feel, and yet you're still, you know, dicking around with swords and fucking magic and stuff and you know, airships and whatnot. But then all of a sudden you've got these castles that can, like, dig themselves underground and form into other shit. It's really cool, though. It's not all, like, sci-fi high-end techie. It's more, like, industrial-age techie in that, you know? And I think that was way cool to me for some reason. You know, like, I don't know. You would be on a train and not a fucking planet that was... What the hell was the story for the 7 where it fell down on some part of the ghetto city? And it was like way too sci-fi for some reason. I couldn't get it. But I don't know. The Xenosaga, I don't know. That whole thing was sci-fi, and I was really into that. I dug that game.
That's fair.
There are just too many little problems, you know? And like in 10, like I said, there was no gameplay there for me, and I was not happy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Go right ahead, because I know Mr. Kobar is ready to rip into me because 10 was the greatest thing to him.
I thought Cobra said he hated 10.
No, he told me you played it all the way through and loved it.
No, wait, no. You played it more than you thought you should because it had issues.
I really liked the story of 10. I thought they did a good job with the story. The tunnel shit pissed me off.
Right. Okay, now wait a minute. Hold on. What I just heard was this. Did I just hear from Rybo that you didn't like 8 also and it was kind of ass?
I didn't like 8, no.
Okay, and nobody remembers 9 because it was wholly forgettable and nothing special?
Pretty much, yes. Go on. I see where you're going with this, but you're not going to trap me.
Now, in 10, you know, they kind of left you no gameplay.
Like
you just kind of you walk down a tunnel.
No, there's no gameplay. There's gameplay in 10. I like 10. I even like
just
10, too. I know everybody hates 10, too. But I even like 10, too.
That's your feminine side coming through.
You never even played 10, too, so I didn't want to hear it from you. You didn't even check it out.
I still have my balls.
Oh, yeah, but you don't have a cock. You have balls, no cock. That's cool.
I don't see how people can play Final Fantasy X. I really don't. I mean, and you know, like Kobar says here, that's you walk down the singular path that they give you to walk down for 15 minutes to watch a 30-minute video. You know, and it just seemed like that was all there was.
Right, but then there was optional single paths you could walk down.
Yeah,
you didn't have to go down to
there might be
a
chest at the end of it.
You know what I'm saying? This is my problem with Final Fantasy. Then of course comes 11, which I basically had to get dragged to kicking and screaming to try. And when I finally broke down right, but it wasn't like a Final Fantasy game. It was an MMO, and so it was a completely different type of Final Fantasy. You know, it could have been anything, and I would have loved it.
But the point is that when you give something a shot, you end up finding it's different than what you expect it to be.
I'm not complaining about 12. I have no opinion on it, other than I think the CGI is great.
Right, but I mean, we all know you never
and they did the controls
12.
Right.
And that may not be the fall of 12. I think that's because of the fall of 360, but go on.
The minigame in this is NMs. You get to
see,
the,
that's
a
cool.
Notorious Monster
Hunter. I have not said bad things, other than not for real. I like to make jokes about it and call you guys gay for playing it. But it's only because I think that, 7, 8, 9, and 10 were absolute crap, and it feels to me that they've kind of abandoned Final Fantasy as I knew it, and that's why I kind of stay away from the series now. You know,
that's because you're comparing everything to Final Fantasy VI, and you can't really do that. Six is a different.
Yeah, you of course you want to compare games to the worst games possible, right?
You can't compare the new Final Fantasy to Final Fantasy VI.
You can't compare any of the Final Fantasies to any other Final Fantasy. They're all different in one way or another, slightly.
Exactly. So that's right. I don't know what you're looking for, then, if you can't compare.
I'm not saying I'm not liking 12 because it's not just like 11. I'm not saying anything about 12.
No, I understand that.
Then you're not making your point very clear. If you're saying you can't judge them all... Okay, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. You can't judge them all, but the last five, four have sucked ass. So, shit, maybe they dropped the ball as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they dropped the ball because you can't get that experience that you got with 6. Is that right?
No, because it could be any other game and I wouldn't play them. It doesn't have anything to do with it being Final Fantasy necessarily. There's nothing about them that's any good that I should play them for. 12 might be that good for a single player version, okay? Because 11 was just incredible. Probably the best MMO out there, period, end of story. I do not doubt that at all. It's amazing. It's just great. And if 12 tries to take a lot of gameplay elements from that, shit, this could be game of the freaking year, hands down. Okay, I accept that. I haven't played it yet.
It's a good game, but I wouldn't even go that far yet.
Right, and nobody here knows yet. I think Kobar does. He's pointing at his screen.
Well, what does Kobar want to say? No, Kobar wants to weigh in on this.
Kobar wants to go back to the review. Now I'm actually going
to
talk about the stuff I don't like about this game.
Oh, goody.
Okay, good.
Next up is the Mist system. Now, Rabbo, I don't know how much you've put into this.
Actually, I just got my first, what's it called? It's not Mist, it's the other thing? The Quickening?
Well, there's the Quickening is a Mist Quickening. It's
okay.
The Quickenings use Mist charges, quote-unquote, to do their thing. And The Mist system is basically the Quickenings and the Summoning, and both, I think, they drop the ball pretty bad. Basically, how this works is you get these Mist charges, and they are basically tied to your mana pool, because like if you get one Mist charge, then that's your mana pool. And then if you get a second Mist charge, you fill up your mana pool once, and that turns into a mischarge, and then you fill your mana pool up again, and that turns into another mischarge. So basically, you're effectively doubling your mana when you get a second quickening or a level 2 summoning. And there's up to 3 mischarges.
Okay. And then now, they do massive damage.
Right. So the first thing these charges are used for is the quickenings. And basically, these are like the limit breaks of Final Fantasy XII. And but they work a little differently because, like I said, it's tied to your mana. So let's say you have a level 2, you're up to level 2 quickenings, and your 3 major characters that you're fighting with have these level 2 quickenings, and so you use them, and so it goes into this whole thing where, like, C4 hates these long attack things with all the particle effects and stuff, and they're actually only 4 seconds a pop. However, because you want to chain them together, which is kind of like this skill chain that Rybo heard that this game had.
What? Yeah, it's skill chains.
Yeah, but it's not really. Okay, so you chain these quickenings together to get a end effect at the end. So let's say you use a level 2 quickening from one guy, and then you use a level 1 quickening from the next guy, and you go on and on and on, and you can just keep doing this until you get the combination that you want, and then you let it go. So if you want let's say you want the end concurrence, it's called, the end ability, that requires 4 level 1s, 4 level 2s, and 4 level 3s, but it's all done by a slot machine. You can't just pick which one you do. So you might be sitting there for fucking 6 minutes going through these little tiny things over and over and over again until you get the concurrence you want.
That sounds like it sucks.
It's gay. They have the opportunity here, because the ATB system is backwards than it has been in the past, where you select, okay, I want to attack, and now you have a casting time instead of a wait time before you pick. So they could have easily done the skill chain that they had in Final Fantasy XI. They could have said, okay, I want to use Red Spiral, and then the next guy goes, okay, I want to use Fulminating Darkness, and then that would have caused a concurrence. That would have been so much better, and it would have been perfect.
Right. Yeah,
but instead you have this luck thing where you end up spending minutes and minutes and minutes watching the same exact 4-second videos of these attacks over and over and over again, and I hate it. Oh, and
yeah,
plus, because it's tied to your mana, when you're done with this, all 3 characters have no more mana. They come out of it MP-less. So fucked if you're going to ever do it with your caster.
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten to it yet.
Espers work the same way, where they're tied to the mischarges, and there's 3, like, ranks of Esper. You have the rank 1, which uses 1 mischarge, the rank 2, which uses 2, and the rank 3, which uses 3. And so when you summon an Esper, the Esper comes, and now it's just you and the caster. But again, if you casted a rank 3 Esper, your caster has no more mana to heal himself, and no more mana to do anything else. And so, and the summoner is the summoning, rather, the Esper is like a guest. You can't control it. You can't change around its gambits. And again, that's too bad. They should have made it so you can control it.
Yeah, because when you have a guest in the party and he does whatever he wants, sometimes he kind of screws everything up.
Yeah, it's not too bad. The guest AI is usually pretty darn good.
It's okay, it's just that there was one point where I was in the ship, and I was trying to control my character to attack one target, and the guest kept going over to another target and getting himself killed.
The guest will go wherever the hell he wants to as far as what attack, but he'll usually stick with you.
Right.
He'll just might attack something differently than what you're attacking.
Right. But that can be bad when you're being swarmed by, like, you know, 7 guards, and you want to take down each one specifically before you move on to anything else. I had to keep raising him because he kept getting himself killed, so... No, I see what you're saying.
So, yeah, that's That's basically the missed system, and unless something very drastic comes that's like an MP recharge much better than charge, which I really don't see happening, I don't like it. And I will avoid using either Espers or Quickenings whenever possible, unless at the very end of a boss I just need that extra oomph.
Right, right.
Okay, now, on to, again, more positive things. The magic system is quite robust, and there's a lot of really cool spells in this game.
Right, I haven't unlocked too much magic yet.
Okay. Well, there's four schools. There's white,
the green,
black,
green magic.
Green, no, there's five, excuse me. White, black, green, time, and arcane. And, white does what it's always done, you know, healing, status effects, holy damage, stuff like that. Black magic is your DD, like fire and water, aerial, stuff like that. Green tends to be buffs, like protect and shell. It also has, like, silence and blind. Time is pretty obvious. It's, like, haste and slow. And there's a new effect called stop, which basically messes them. They can't move. They can't do anything.
And what's
Arcane has some pretty interesting ones. Like, it has the bubble spell, which actually doubles the character's HP that you cast it on. It also has a decoy, which makes basically an attack dummy that all the enemies attack instead of you.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some real interesting spells.
That one's straight out of WoW.
Have you noticed that any characters are more apt toward magic than, say, others? Like, for example, Pinello's better at casting magic than, say, like, Balthier, since you're able to, with the license board, since you must make any character do anything you want.
Yeah, Pinello will have a tendency towards magic because she gets more MP per level. Other than that...
Now, see, what decides that, though? Why?
Stats. She has more of the magic stat.
Okay, so you kind of railroaded into making sure that she's your mage or healer?
No. You could make someone else have more MP and put them in the mage gear and give them all the potency license point system and whatnot. And you could make fucking the head warrior dude, the magic user. He'll have less MP than if you had made Pinello, but it's still workable.
Right, yeah. I mean, you could do it, but it just seems like... So there's no good reason, though, they want you to make that character that type.
Well, yeah, and there's some that are certainly a lot better at... would be a lot better at it than others. Like, you could make Fran a magic user, and that would be okay. You wouldn't necessarily want to make Balthier or the... I can't think of Bosch's. You wouldn't might want to make those two magic users, but you could make Fran or Ash a magic user, and it wouldn't be too bad.
Right, okay. Is it like, so like a racial thing?
No, because most of them are Hume. But like, racial thing is a good point. If you were in Final Fantasy XI, if you made a Galka, yeah, you could be a white mage. Might not be such a bad idea.
Right. Okay.
And that's okay. I mean, if you want to make a white mage, you go with a Taru or a, as an example.
Right. Okay, just checking. It just seems weird to me. I don't like how they kind of suggest that you make this character that. You know, this goes right back to my generic blanket RPG problem. I want to make my guys how I want to make my guys.
The benefit that comes with the way they're doing it now is you can add their abilities and who they are into the story. Like, you can make the fact that Pinello is more apt for magic a part of the story, and it means something. If you have blanket dudes where you say, all right, this is my dude, I'm going to pick from this race, and I'm going to give him this name, it's harder to make a more solid story arc about those people.
Right, okay.
I don't know, I'm not too fond of the make your character anything type thing, and I would rather have where it's a template, and you can spec out your character with, like, say, let's say, like, Pinello gets, like, her license board is just, like, all magic. And you can spec out whether or not you want her to be, like, this uber black mage, or you want to put her towards like, you know, buffs and whatnot, or, like, make her a super white mage.
I agree, that
like
would
that.
Be nice.
That would be a lot better than just to have where it's just like a generic board and pretty much any, you can, if you spend like enough time in the game, because I think that's, this is one of the points of the, that they were trying to make the reviews. You can make everybody have everything. If you like, you know, put 100 hours into the game, each character, every character can do every spell and every technique
right.
in the game.
That
doesn't
true.
Really,
however,
you know,
they won't be geared out for it.
They won't be geared out for it?
Yeah, when you get into the later end of the game, magic gear, that cloth, like the pointy hats and the stuff, that actually adds a lot. So, sure, your dude in heavy plate with a sword and a shield might be able to cast all the spells.
Right, but he won't have the MP
to be able to do it. Yeah, that doesn't mean he's going to be able to do it nearly as well as the other people.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So, the techniques are a little on the shallow side. A lot of them are very situational. Like, there's one where you can kill off a party member to raise a different one. And, like, the only reason you'd ever want to do that is if you really need that dead party member and you're out of Phoenix Downs.
Now, I haven't noticed yet. Are there any, like, techniques or skills that are specific to damage? Like, for example, I noticed there was a Soul Eater there for warriors, where they can actually use their own HP to do extra damage on enemies. I mean, are there more like that? Or
there's also one called Thousand Needles, which is an attack one. There's one called the Traveler, where it actually it deals damage based on how many steps you've taken in the world.
That's awesome.
But some of the most important techniques are like Libra, which allows you to basically check the enemy. You get to see how much HP and what they're weak against and what level they are. And
everybody has to have steel for some reason. I don't understand why that is at all.
I actually went around it for quite a few people. I didn't bother picking
it
up.
You went around steel?
Yeah. Charge is very nice because it gives you MP. However, if it fails, you lose all the MP you had, so you may want to make sure you do it at the end when you're low. Next up, let's talk about weapons, and then we're pretty much done.
Weapons?
Yeah. Weapons are very nice in this game because the different weapons actually mean something different. Like, you could choose to have a pole on a guy, and it's a two-handed weapon, but it has a lower max damage, but it actually has a better chance to chain. So you might hit the guy 2, 3, and 4 times because you're wearing a pole.
I don't think Rybo has a frame of reference for a pole.
Especially a two-hander?
Exactly.
Oh! Alright.
Or you might have a gun, which is incredibly piss-poor damage, but it never misses. It cannot miss. It has 100% accuracy.
The guns. I thought the guns were doing good damage. It's slow as all hell.
No, the guns are.
I thought
crap.
They hit. Oh, they are.
Yeah, but I could get a gun that hits for maybe at this point maybe 50 or maybe 70, while my main guy is hitting for like 400.
Because I mean where I am right now, Balthier. I mean he hits for like 120, 100.
I don't know, maybe guns got better. I kind of gave up on them.
No, I see.
But so that's an example. So you might decide that you want, or like an axe has a really high max damage for a one-handed weapon, so you can wear a shield. But it also has a really low minimum. So you might hit for 10, and then you might hit for 450.
Okay.
So there's some really interesting stuff there, and that's about it. If they had fixed the miss system a little better, at least to how I would want to see it, this very well might be my favorite Final Fantasy. But they didn't, and so it's not.
Right. There's a lot of throwbacks to a lot of the old Final Fantasies, then, too.
Oh, sure, but there usually is.
There is. That's true. But I don't know, it just seemed like... I mean, it's not a perfect game yet. It's a very solid game. I'd say it's 40 out of 50.
That's exactly what I gave it.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Not 50 out of 40. Sorry, Final. Did you want to say anything else on the cover?
I don't think so. If you're a fan of Final Fantasy or even a fan of RPGs, you should seriously consider picking this up because it's good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And C4 should definitely just give it a shot.
Yeah, no, it sounds fantastic, and at some point I know I will. I just, that time hasn't come yet, but it will someday, I'm sure. I'm actually looking
someday
forward to
you,
it.
When you pry yourself off of the 360.
Exactly, I have to wean myself off the Microsoft teat and find my way back to Sony Freedom or something. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take a PS3 with a VGA cable is what it's going to take to get me to play this. I mean, that's just what it's going to take, I'm sure. I'm sure it's going to be some dumb shit like that that gets me to finally play, you know, some of the PS2 games I've wanted to play. And, of course, this being a big one, I'm going to have to take a look at it.
You'll hear about C4 commenting
on
it on
TV
from
right here.
I had that before, and I didn't like it very much.
You'll hear about C4 commenting on it in episode 163, a year and a half ago. When he was playing. And he'll be, oh my
no
god,
shit. This is a great game. Everybody should go play this. Oh my god. Yeah, I can hear it. I can definitely hear that.
Did you have anything else? Because I had a game called Bully, which I played and we talked about.
Why don't you fill us in on that?
Okay. Well, when we first talked about Bully, remember how I was saying that it didn't look like it was going to be another Grand Theft Auto clone?
Right.
Well, I lied. It's a Grand Theft Auto clone.
Oh, no.
But it's the best one they've done so far. Okay, first off, let's get the story out the way. I mean, you're this kid, Jimmy Hopkins, and you're 15 years old, and you're a smart-ass troublemaker. You're not a bad kid, but, you know, you're not a goody-two-shoes either. Now, your mom is on her, like, fifth husband right now, and she's going on this year-long honeymoon. So what she does is she decides to send you off to the Bulworth Academy, which is like this rich prep school. Now, this rich prep school, I mean, it's like right out of a New England college movie, like School Ties. I mean, it's right there. It's got the brick, the main building. It's got the you know, you have the preps who like talk with this like Boston accent. It's really pretty cool. Now, as soon as you arrive, you meet the principal, and naturally he doesn't like you because, you know, this is a game and you're a kid in school, so why would the principal like you? And he thinks all children are evil until like proven otherwise. So, you know, Jimmy, you know, he's a smart ass, so he doesn't really help himself. He doesn't really do himself any favors. Okay, after that you meet the resident school psycho, who is initially your friend, but then as the story progresses, he actually becomes your nemesis. So he's the actual bully in the game. You're not the bully. You're like this kid who's just kind of like an anti-hero. You know, he's not like a good guy. He's not really a bad guy, but, you know, he's kind of there. It's not like the evil characters you play in the regular Grand Theft Auto games.
Right. Almost sound like now, more like a victim of chance or something. and you're like a new guy, so they pick on you, and you've got to defend yourself.
Right, they pick on you, defend yourself, and then you decide to teach everybody a lesson. Now, the game is kind of broken up into five different chapters. Chapter one is basically a tutorial, and this chapter is it's decently long. I mean, I'd say it's about 2 or 3 hours long, and pretty much your nemesis, who's posing as your friend right now, shows you the ropes of the school. He kind of introduces you to different cliques and whatnot. I mean, you have, in this one, you have the preps, who are the rich kids, who are the snooty rich kids, and they talk with a Boston accent. You have the bikers, who are like right out of a 1950s, like, James Dean movie. You have the jocks and the nerds, who are, you know, typical, stereotypical jocks and nerds. Like, one nerd always wets himself every time he talks to you because he's so scared. It's pretty funny. And then you have, you have the townies, who are the poor kids in town who can't afford to go to school, and they factor into the story later on. And then each chapter, as you play through it, is appropriate for whatever your nemesis is. Like, for example, in chapter 2, your main arch rivals are the preps. And because this prep academy is set in New England, and it's the fall when you fight these guys, because it's early in the story, the whole deal feels like New England. I mean, the whole area, it's like overcast, there's a lot of fog, you know, it's just a very gloomy type feeling. Like when you go into chapter 3 and you start fighting the bikers, it's snowy, it's more of a Christmas season, so it kind of feels like a 1950s movie. And then when you fight the jocks and nerds, it's like spring, it's because, you know, you're fighting against the football players. I would have to say that the music in this game, they kind of made it where it's appropriate to whatever faction you're fighting, because they actually don't have licensed music like they normally do in the Grand Theft Auto games. You know how normally they have, like, soundtracks from the 80s or 90s and whatnot?
Right.
Right. Well, in this one, let's say you're fighting against the bikers, right? So you kind of have this, like, wacky 1960s-type surf music going on. When you're fighting against, like, the nerds, you have, like, this Devo-type pop synthesizer music going on. It's pretty cool. Like, depending on, like, who you're, whoever your enemy is at the time. Now, the combat in the game is, it's a little bit shallow. And I think that's because of limitations of the engine that they use, since it's still basically on the Grand Theft Auto engine. And Grand Theft Auto is primarily a racing game, not a fighting game. But they're using that engine to make
a
fighting game.
When it was combat, it was usually shooting.
Exactly. When it was combat, it was shooting. So, you know, you don't really get a crazy amount of combos that you can use as far as punching and kicking are concerned. You kind of just get, like, basic punches and kicks, and then you can do other, like, pressure-sensitive moves. Like, if you hold the square button down half a second, he'll do, like, an extra uppercut or something like
that. Oh, Jesus. So a whole bunch of shit I'll never be able to do.
That's pretty much as deep as the combat gets. But the thing is, you don't really need all that anyway, because they have one move, which is called the grab. Basically, when you hit the triangle, you can grab a kid by, like, his shirt. And then you can just, like, pummel his face and knock him down on the ground. You can either run away or you can, like, finish him off. And you can do it to pretty much any enemy in the game. So it's really simple the game is super easy. It's really simple to get out of situations that way. And you don't use any of the weapons that you get. Pretty much the weapons that you get are pretty cool. Like, you get, like, the slingshot with a sniper scope. You get stink bombs. You get itching powder. You get marbles. You get, like, rotten eggs. And you get, like, cherry bombs and these, like,
M80 rockets. Like a bunch of shit you'd use as a kid, huh? That's pretty cool.
It's a bunch of shit you use as a kid, but the thing is that they hardly ever factor into your combat. I mean, sure, you can use marbles to get away from kids if you're trying to run away, or, like, stink bombs and whatnot, but you rarely ever use them. So, pretty much the whole time, you're just punching and kicking.
Right.
Now, like, you know the Grand Theft Autos, remember when you ran, you would kind of get fatigued after you run for a little bit, so you have to slow down? This one, you don't have any fatigue bar, so you can run as long as you want and pretty much get away from anybody.
Nice.
As long as you hold down on the circle button. The game itself is very atmospheric. I mean, there's a lot of attention to detail in the world and area. Obviously, it's a lot smaller than the Grand Theft Auto games because you're not spanning a whole city. You're, like, in one little town and one little, like, prep school. So, I mean, what they did was they put a lot of detail into, like, the small area. So you do have, like, the full school, which is, like, it's a pretty big area. It's such a big school. You get, like, the main hall. You get, like, two dorms, like the boys' dorm, the girls' dorm. Then you have, like, the rich kids' dorm. So you get three dorms, actually. You get, like, one gym. You get, like, a commons area, which has, like, four square and, like, different dodgeball things and the basketball courts. You get, like, a whole football field. And then you have the surrounding town, which looks like a typical New England waterfront town. So you have a dock, you have, like, a little beach area, you have, like, you can actually swim in the game for a little bit. Then you have the rich area, which has a bunch of rich houses that you can go and vandalize if you want. And then you have, like, the poor area, and you have an industrial area, and you have a full carnival that's there, like, 24/7, too. Pretty cool. The graphics are actually pretty nice as far as a Rockstar game is concerned. Now, this is where it gets kind of GTA, the missions that you have. You do have the regular GTA-style missions, and you know what those are. You go up to the circle that's glowing on the ground.
Right, and starts the mission from there. You press X or something.
It has, like, some kind of funny title for the mission.
Right.
You get your mission, and then you go in and get it. And the missions are pretty simple. It's, you know, it's go here and beat this guy up, or go here and try to get this, or escort this girl who's, like, stayed out too late, and she wants to get back to her dorm without getting caught. And, you know, and there's, like, you know, the typical sneaking missions where you have to sneak into the girls' dorm and you have to get panties for the perverted coach, which is actually a pretty funny mission to do.
Nice.
But you only do that once. And then there's the typical sniper missions where you usually have to protect someone who's, like, either on the football field, or in one case you have to, like, this nerd is giving a speech to run for student council. So the bullies in the audience are, like, you know, taunting him and whatnot. So what you have to do is you have to snipe at the bullies with your slingshot, which has, like, the sniper scope on them, so the nerd doesn't get too nervous and run off the stage. which is a pretty creative mission, but I mean, it's still basic sniping. Yeah, you're still basic. You know, you're still basically doing a sniper mission. And then there's another type of mission which are called errand missions, which are actually in the game. They don't actually go to a cutscene or anything like that. You have someone run up to you, and you can choose to take the mission or not. And they want you to do something weird, like they want you to like throw a cherry bomb in the toilet or something like that, or some girl wants you to break into this boy's locker and put a love letter in there because she's too scared to do it herself. So you have to actually go into like a little lock picking. It's not even really a mini game. It's kind of like another pressure sensitive where you kind of have to turn the analog stick left and right in order to get the right combination. I would like to see like a mini game like they use in Oblivion with the lock picking. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was all right.
You didn't like it too much?
I don't know. It was pretty cool, and it was okay. Here's my problem with it. I know how they could make it fat, and I haven't seen it done yet. That's my only issue with it.
Oh, I thought it was pretty. I mean, it's pretty fun as far as what it was.
It was a good idea. It was kind of half-assed, though.
Yeah, and it's close to really cool. I just think that you need. I mean, and it would be really something really simple because you needed like a tension bar. So why don't they have you hold it to the like hold the left stick to the left. You know, and like on the right stick, you could tap around. It just seems like it could be more realistic, rather easy. You know, I think it'd be way cool, but it's just not. And I understand why it's not. I just it's an interest of mine. Think it would be cool. You know.
I see. Well, anyway, yeah. So you have to do. There's like a little lot picking involved here, and it's just basically with the analog sticks. It's kind of. The other thing is that you know how normal GTAs you have that. The cop bar with the stars.
Right, yeah, your wanted meter or whatever.
Yeah, your wanted meter. Well, in this one, they adapted the system to, you know, fit into the world that you're in. So in this one, the cops are basically the campus security guards and the cops that are in the town. And you have this infraction meter, which is like the little red meter on the left-hand side of your stats bar. And as you do different things, like let's say you're lock picking, right? Your infraction bar will go yellow, and it'll say that you do. It'll say what your infraction is. Like in this case, you're lock picking. So the campus security guards that wander through the halls, they have like this Metal Gear Solid style cone of vision, which is on a radar screen that you have in the upper right hand corner. And if they see you like lock picking, they'll start chasing you, and your meter will go red, and you have to outrun them until your meter goes down. Now the thing is that it's not as sophisticated as Metal Gear Solid because all you have to do is pretty much outrun them into, like, a bathroom or something like that, and then they'll forget about you. Or you just, like, hide into, a trash can, even though they're right in front of you, and they'll still forget about you. So it's not, the AI isn't really that great. But if they do catch you, if they catch you, what happens is you go into, like, this quick time action, like in Resident Evil 4, you know, where it'll say, like, tap A real fast to get away.
Right.
And you, like, stomp on their foot and then run away from them. Or if you don't do that fast enough, you get sent to the principal's office, and then you lose, you know, some of your gear. Now, when you're in town, though, and the cops catch you, you can't get away from them because they're real cops.
I mean, you know what? This sounds
gonna kick your ass.
Like it could have just been a mod for any one of the GTA games.
It pretty much is. I mean, it's still a fun game because, you know, GTA is actually a fun game for a week, and then you never want to play it again. But, I mean, it's a decent game. Now, there's other cool stuff in it, like there's a day and night cycle that goes on in this game. It went on the other GTA too, but it's more important here because you're a kid. So you do have to be in your dorm room by 10 p.m. or you're breaking curfew, in which case that's another infraction that they can come in and either send you to the principal's office or arrest you on. And if you're not asleep by 2 a.m., you just pass out wherever you are. And then the next day, your stats are not as good as they were before, and you move real slow. Now, also in the day and night cycles, as time passes, you have to go to classes that go on during the day. Now, there's about four or five different classes. Like, for example, there's an English class that you go to, in which case all these little classes are mini-games. So in English class, you're given five letters, and they have, like, a bunch of words that you can make out of these five letters. So you have to make you have to make words out of what five letters you get, and you have to do it, like, within a certain time limit. Now, if you pass that, there's five different levels in each class of increasing difficulty of the minigame, right? Now, every time you pass one, you get, like, an extra stat onto what your paper doll is. So, for example, if you pass English class, every time you get stopped by a cop or bully or these kids in class, these kids that run around, they try to pick fights with you. You get an extra option to give an excuse in order to get out of it. So you kind of avoid fighting that way.
Oh,
it's
right, okay.
Class. That's pretty cool. At least they made it useful for the game.
Yeah, they do, but the thing is you only get five levels. So if you attend class like a straight week and you pass all five levels, you never have to do it again because you're already finished. It doesn't really go beyond that. So yeah. Now then there's like art class, which basically plays like Quix. I'm not sure if you remember that game.
QIX.
Yeah.
It sounds really familiar and I think I can picture the logo, but I can't remember anything
It's kind of like Snake, you know, Snake, where you move a line across and you have to try not to eat your own tail. It plays a little bit like that. But anyway, if you pass art class, then you're better with women. And actually, that's kind of important because you can kiss girls to get bonus health. So, for example, you have like 100% health. When you pass one art class, if you kiss a girl, you get like 125% health every time you kiss a girl. You have like extra health to go along with. Right, and then, of course, there's five versions of that, and each time you get more and more involved with the kissing. So by the time you're finished with all five classes, you're like fully making out with these chicks in the middle of the hallway. Which is pretty, and what's cool about that is like there's different girls you can make out with, and if one of them actually sees you making out with another girl, she'll either kick your ass or she'll kick her ass, which is pretty fun. And then with this chemistry, where basically it's just a rhythm game. It's like any DDR game. You have to hit X and circle and left and right, mixing chemicals. And if you pass that class, and you get to make more gear at home, like you get more stink bombs and whatnot. And then there's a shop class, which makes you faster with bikes. Now there's no carjacking in this game, obviously, since you're a kid. So pretty much the only way you get around is either by running, using your skateboard, which really isn't that fast. You always have your skateboard in your inventory, or you have to find bicycles around campus that are of various speeds. Like you have like a kid's bike, or you have like a racing bike, and they go pretty fast. And then there's the way you learn different combat moves is through gym class, where you learn different wrestling type moves. Or there's this hobo, this like kung fu master who's a hobo who lives behind the school. And you can find him different radio parts as you go along. Those are your, you know, like in all the GTAs, you have little crack bags you have to find.
Right, yeah.
These radio parts and the rubber bands are basically this game's version of that system. And they're just like around in random spots. And as you bring this stuff to him, he teaches you different karate moves, which, again, because the combat's so shallow, it doesn't really make that much of a difference.
Way to innovate, Rockstar. I mean, it sounds incredibly similar. Like
it's extremely similar. And aside from that, what makes it worse is that there's no shooting involved and there's no crazy missions like in GTA. It's extremely easy. I think I beat the game in 10 hours. I think it'll be 10 hours.
Oh my God.
And I think I died twice the entire time I was playing the game.
And FPS isn't even that short, let alone an adventure game.
Yeah, it's extremely easy to do. The only optional content that's in it, which I guess could extend your playtime, because after you beat the game, you get a mode called Endless Summer, where you can just wander around the world as long as you want, and in which you can do, like little errands. Like, you still have people come up to you and ask you to, like, either get five of these items or go over here and beat this guy up, but you don't have any more story missions.
Right.
And then every time you do that, you get money, and the only thing the money's good for is buying extra clothes and outfits for your character or changing his haircut or whatnot.
Right, or a bunch of stupid shit that you would do just to get 100%.
Yeah. Exactly, there's a lot of stupid shit you do to get 100%. When I beat the game, I beat it at 50% without doing a lot of that extra content. The other 50% is just doing each and every errand mission and getting each and every outfit and playing all the carnival games at the carnival and whatnot.
I didn't realize you'd beat this, actually. I thought you played it for a while and hated it so much you got rid of it.
No, I beat it in like 2 days.
Jesus.
Yeah, I took it back and got Tales of the Abyss, so. But I give it $20 out of 40. Because it's a $40 game, and it's a $40 game, and if you can find it for 20, I mean, there's a lot of, if you don't want to burn through it, like I do, you'll probably play it for a little bit. I mean, if you like Grand Theft Auto, there's enough there to keep you interested for $20.
Okay.
It's missing the best part of Grand Theft Auto, though.
What, the killing?
You don't hop in a car and fucking, in a high-speed car chase.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. They're still using that same engine, which is a racing engine, to build an action game on. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess I guess when they go to the, when they have to finally rebuild and make a new engine for the next generation consoles, maybe they'll address some of that.
Well, yeah, they're working on it. They got GTA 4 they're working on, so I'm sure we'll get to see it soon. And then
I'm
Bully
sure
2.
Very, very different. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be very different.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be a miracle. It'll just rock the gaming world. It'll be all new, innovative, and whatnot again. I do not doubt their abilities.
It'll be in 4D.
4D.
Oh, man. You know, I did watch a movie this week that I just don't have it in me to talk about now. I mean, because we've gone a lot. I have no idea how long this is because I didn't start a timer for some reason.
It's longer than an hour and a half, though.
I think we're going on 2.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really do, because I think we started close to 4, and it's 6:30.
2.5 hours of three of us just talking. I mean, people want to kill themselves by now.
Yeah, I know, huh? that's all right. I can save it for next week. It wasn't a fantastic movie, but it was definitely worth a rental. And I could talk. It had something to do with video games, which is why I wanted to check it out. So maybe if you're bored and you want to get down to the store, it's called Stay Alive. And, It was all right, but we'll talk about it next week in depth a little bit because it was definitely worth a rental. So maybe if you're bored tonight, you can get down to the Blockbuster and shimmy on down, pick it up, and head back and watch it.
All right.
Okay,
I think
no, I'm,
are we out of steam?
I think, yeah, no, I'm done. I mean, my throat's killing me, and I think that's it. I think it's time to whoop some ass. Whoop some ass. It's a Marvel Ultimate Alliance now.
You guys talked about it next week. That's a fun game.
Well, no, we talked about it last week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did. No, you're not. No, I knew you didn't hear it because I was talking to you on IRC, and you totally were like, oh, yeah, you got to play that and talk about it. I'm like, uh-huh. We just did a couple, 4 days ago. But, yeah, no, I ended up beating it and unlocked almost every... in fact, I think there's two things that I haven't unlocked that are known. You know how it, like, doesn't tell you what, like, 18 or 25 of the achievements are? I think the only two I haven't done are unlock Black Panther and Silver Surfer. And those are the only two things I haven't done yet that I know. And everything else is like, you know, kill 10 dudes, kill 100 dudes, kill 2,000 dudes, throw 5 dudes over a cliff, throw 200 dudes over a cliff, throw 2,000 dudes over a cliff. They're all weird little things like that as far as I can tell. And I'm sure there's a bunch of them that are like completionist things, like unlock all characters, you'd probably get one, unlock all comic missions, which I'm working on, which is a bitch, because I think to unlock Silver Surfer, you have to unlock all the comic missions and then do them all, which is cool, because he's a fucking beast, but that's a lot of shit, because, not because it's hard to do the missions, I mean, they're a blast, I mean, the game is absolutely just friggin' cool because all the shit you can unlock and how, like, I mean, it really is a comic book fanboy's wet dream. It really is cool, except for all the incredible amount of bugs. I've been finding more bugs. I mean, by the end of it, I was surprised the game just didn't melt my 360. I mean, it practically did because it was over.
It probably did.
I saw a bug in it last night where we were playing in the hell level.
Uh-huh.
And,
Mephisto's realm,
Mephisto's level, and we were on the... Every time we beat one of those demon things, the camera would spin around real fast and, like, give me a seizure.
Wow.
I don't know what the hell was going on. I've never... I mean, it was just, like... It did it, like, three times every time we beat
Jesus.
One of those demon things. It was just totally crazy.
See, I never saw that one, and I was sure I'd seen every bug by then. I mean, dudes falling through the level. I saw one that I don't think we mentioned on the last show either that I remember, where if you're attacked when you're picking up a weapon... That character gets locked. Like, frozen locked. Stuck in the position he was in when he got hit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
He cannot move. He is now planted in that level. Now, I thought to myself, okay, so Wolverine, he was like my main dude, got locked. Like, he was just frozen. But I still had the rest of my party left. So, I mean, I tried to move him. I switched off of him onto a different character and back to a different character, back to him, and it didn't work. I tried pausing it. Everything, he would not move, and he's frozen, and it's really lame animation. So I thought, since the game bumps your dudes up, you know, like when you're, like if I walk most of my guys off the screen, if somebody's way the hell far away, it'll just, like, bounce them to the bottom of my screen. It wouldn't move Wolverine still. Like, he was, like, cemented into the ground there. It was crazy. And I mean...
what finally unlocked him was when everybody else died. The game, like, you know, the camera flew all the way halfway across the level back to where he was, and then it unlocked Wolverine so I could go through and save it and revive everybody just because he's that badass in my particular party. I mean, it was just, you know, stupid little shit like that that really drove me nuts. There was, now on the same token, okay, how they move your guys when they're off the screen too far, there's this one part where I jumped down into this, like, you're indoors somewhere, you're inside, like, a mansion or something, and I had fallen off of, you're supposed to jump over, like, these holes in the ground kind of thing, and I was dumb and wasn't using Spider-Man. He was always my platformer dude, because as soon as I'd have to jump, I'd whip out, I'd cheat. I'd go to Spider-Man and swing across, because he's a fucking badass, right? So I fucked up, and I was Wolverine, and I fell. And so I fell down to, like, the almost like a pit. I was indoors, so I was, like, on the bottom floor of, like, a giant house, and I had to get back up to the top floor, and I couldn't figure it out for, you know, a couple seconds, and I realized I could climb up, like, the draperies. There was, like, these giant things hanging on the walls, and you could climb up it. Now, here's the beautiful part. All four of my guys were on the ground because one guy fell, they all joined him. Well, you climb up these things and you get your first guy to jump onto the railing up above where you're supposed to be. Well, to get your other guys there, you gotta switch to them and have them climb up. When you switch, your guy that you just walked up there is so fucking far away, guess where he shows up? At the bottom of the screen now, down on the floor.
Oh my god.
It is so friggin' stupid. I mean, there were so many things like that were retarded. I mean, and not to mention, like, we talked about it last show quite a bit. I mean, you really should go listen to, like, the 15 minutes that we talked about it, because I had a list of bugs that we'd run across, and I mean, other shit.
Did it ever crash on you?
What do you mean crash? Like, constantly fucking freeze? Yeah.
No, what I mean, freeze and then start, because what happened was, the reason why we stopped playing, we were playing for, like, about 2 hours last night, and we got to the part where it tallies up all your tokens at the end and shows you which was the most valuable player. It froze on that screen. We couldn't
that's
get,
the
we could
arcade
not get out
mode.
Of that screen. Yeah, that was the story mode. We were playing the story mode.
Wait, at the end of the level then, maybe?
Yeah, every time you beat, like, a little level, an area, whatnot, and it shows you all four players, and then it tallies up, like, you know.
See,
player, whatnot.
Well, I played it start to finish single player. So it didn't tell me, you know, who was playing more and what. But there's some kind of an arcade mode thing too. Like a separate thing, like not story
mode. Right.
There's some kind of
story mode, yeah.
Okay, because Kobar and I tonight are going to go through, dick around with the arcade mode for a while and see what we can do there, because I hear it's just insane, and it sounds way cool. And there's an achievement for it, too, at least one that I know of, where you have to beat not all of them, but three arcade levels in a row without dying or something ridiculous like that. I hear it's really hard to do, so, I don't know, it gives us something to putz around with. He hasn't played it yet, but he watched the chaos last week, where it was just, I mean, bug after bug after bug after bug. And the worst part is the game is so much goddamn fun. It really is fun.
It's really cool. Yeah.
But
yeah, really
unfortunately,
good.
There's so many just huge bugs, you know. And what's weird, too, is it almost seems like some of them kind of go away. Like, I had this problem where I was jumping upstairs and you would slide backwards if you didn't make it all the way up the stairs. Did you notice that in the first couple, four levels?
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of, I mean, it's a lot of platforming crap in it, where you slide down or you can't make a jump, even though you're obviously making the jump onto
yeah.
the platform.
But yeah.
At one point where you're in, like, I think it's with the tapestry area, or you're in a castle or something, and there's
something
like
that,
a little
yeah.
platform in the middle, and you got to jump over, and there's, like, these axes coming down.
Right.
You can make that jump with the non-flying characters. It was
dude,
ridiculous. It took like 15 minutes to make those jumps.
Exactly. I kept trying to do it with Wolverine, who can double jump, but I couldn't do it. But I could switch to Spider-Man, and with no problem, I could get through it, because he could just fly over it, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, the game is so much fun that it's like, you know, four or five massive bugs away from being, like, the most ass-kicking game. And which is all right,
the
though,
only
because
thing,
it's like...
The only thing? No Magneto. That's a crime.
Yeah.
A Marvel game. That's a crime in a Marvel game. I'm sorry.
There's no Hulk either. Kinda. Like, he's at the very,
neither.
Very, very end.
Yeah.
Laying under a pile of brick.
But you cannot make a Marvel game without Magneto. He's like the MVP of the whole Marvel universe.
Bad guy thing. I don't... Dude, they had Galactus, yeah. though.
I know, but still... Magneto,
and he's
dude.
A friggin' badass compared to Magneto. I mean, he would just step on him. Well,
that's up for another
I don't know.
Later
I mean, yeah, I guess so. But okay, the last thing I want to say about it, though, I mean, really quick, is that, you know, they've got what I feel to be 85%
of a fantastic first try at a next-gen hack-and-slash engine.
Oh, yeah, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, when the second one comes out, because you know it's going to be
this is what I'm saying.
Be great. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. It is, because they're gonna cheeseball it. They're gonna give it to us in a year. They're not gonna change the graphics or anything except for maybe work on a few bugs, which will be great though, because that's all that's wrong with the game. And I don't know who or if there is any plans for like a Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance or something of the sort. There needs to be though, so I can get my fantasy on and put on my robe and wizard's hat and get all into it. But I need it. But I don't know what engine they're gonna use. Like if Snowblind is working on a new engine or not, but fuck, just take this one and fix the bugs and they would have it nailed. And add some like NMs to it, like some uniques.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
It would be dope because like they have like some like a combat system going inside the game, like a fighting game combat. It's really cool. I mean, the game is fabulous except for these crazy fucking bugs that make it either completely unplayable or incredibly like frustrating. You know?
Yeah, that's due to the poor beta testing though. They want to get it out real fast for the crazy, I guess.
Yeah. Oh well. Let's bounce now. I don't want to hit 3 hours and have to edit this beast tomorrow. Thank you, dear doctor. We couldn't have done it without you.
No problem. Glad to have my penis call into question.
Anytime.
Later.
Odd groups got to left, even groups got to right. That means 1, 3, 5, 7 left, 2, 4, 6, 8 right. 7 and 8 are whelp groups. Okay, listen the fuck up. You are going to DPS very, very slowly. Now. And by slowly, I mean fucking slow. If you get aggro, it means you're going to lose 50 DKP because you didn't know what the fuck to do. And watch the fucking case. You get kicked into the whelps, you lose 50 DKP again for not being where the fuck you were supposed to be. There is no aggro reset. You only need, there's some shit about an aggro reset when people don't know how to manage their aggro. After 2 sunders, you can basically start doing damage to it, assuming you know how aggro works and you don't over aggro. Okay, nuke it, dot it, help the whelp groups. When it's in phase 2, nuke it as hard as possible. You want to get it down as fast as possible. Have dots up on every time. 2 rows, Shadow Word paints, Warlock curses, rends, everything. I don't see enough dots. More dots now. Come on, more DPS. Hit it like you mean it. You'll get time to rest in phase 3 while I'm getting the aggro. Remember, save all your aggro-reducing abilities for when it lands. That means feign death, vanish, fucking fade, anything that you can use to reset aggro. At 40%, you will stop dots. Until then, you will throw more dots. Throw more dots, more dots, more dots. Come on, more dots. Okay, stop dots. Now hit it very hard and very fast. Lee, run to the center. Mogris, run to the center. Foresight, run to the center. Sarp, run to the center. Isis, run to the center. Whatever the fuck you do, do not stand next to other people. Mogres, center. Just heal me. Lee, do not go away from the head, Lee. Go away. K, DPS, slowly. Come here, you fucking cunt. Touch the tail.
Well, crush him was fair and serious.
Who the fuck was that? Crush him? What the fuck? Whelps, left side, even side, many whelps. Now handle it. Fuck! That's a fucking 50 DKP minus. What the fuck was that shit? If you stand in the right fucking place, there is no way you are going to fucking get into the goddamn whelps, whatever fucking fear, tail swipe, whatever the fuck, okay? It's like 1 in a fucking million. From the fucking north corner the middle into the fucking whelp cave. It's not even fucking remotely imaginable.